This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening, everybody. 7 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. This is The Show. Studio C is where we are located. I don't know where you are, but thanks for joining us. I'm sitting here alongside the only two people who could get to the studio.
Bothered to show up today.
Katie, June, and Kat Carlson are sitting. Oh, there is Alfie.
Al Perkins.
Alfie, she overslept.
Just under
but
the wire.
But you look so refreshed. She, I don't know what he's saying. It's our. She's got a bottle of wine. She's ready to go. Good evening, everybody. Again, it's show number 197. It's the first show of 2015. It's the 6th of January. And Katie, I like what you... I don't, is it a surprise? Are we going to hold this?
No, not necessarily.
Katie has decided that because it's the first show of the year, we should really kick it off. So
yeah.
She brought the makings for Ruthie's Secret Sour Whiskey, whatever the hell that's called.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
I thought we should use the blender.
We haven't done that in a while.
And
very exciting.
I've never had them.
God bless Ruthie.
I guess Al's going to start now.
Let's get it started. All right. Climb aboard this
now,
train.
Now, the Ruthie special surprise is in honor of Al's mother.
Yes. As a longtime listener.
Yeah.
Whiskey, right? Lemonade, ice.
Don't give away the secret ingredients.
I won't give away the final secret ingredient.
I know it because Al said it a few times on air, but don't give it away.
Of course.
Do any newbies? I don't want to.
That actually reminded me.
I don't want to let them in on it.
That reminded me of an episode of Will and Grace that I happened to see at my mom's, I think it was Christmas Day, where they go to Will's mom's for Christmas, and Karen's there, of course, and Will's mother is serving whatever family secret drink it is, and you know, Karen, the alcoholic, is trying to name every ingredient in it, and she goes down the entire list, and she goes, I'm just missing something. And then finally somebody shouts out the ingredient. She's like, damn, cinnamon! Or whatever hell it was. Something like cinnamon. I think it was like
cinnamon
or something like that. And Karen's like, damn it! That's when you guys were going back and forth about that recipe, it reminded me of that.
Good. I feel like Kat is, is Karen.
How?
I feel like...
Kat is Karen?
Sure. Yes.
She isn't a pharmacist or chauffeur or...
I don't drink enough.
No, you don't drink nearly enough.
I don't drink nearly enough.
Nobody in this room drinks that much.
I like that you, I mean, I appreciate your enthusiasm towards my drinking.
Yeah, you should be a Karen. That's good.
No. All right, I'm going to get right into that right now.
See, Marnie doesn't drink as much as Karen Walker either.
No.
Marnie Ryer has entered the room and welcome in, whatever.
Welcome in.
Bienvenue.
Yeah, bienvenue.
Welcome.
Al is in the kitchen doing something with a blender already.
Blending some drinks.
Very starting. You can always use
the
bigger blender in the kitchen there. Whose car is going to stay for a week at my house this week? I'm wondering.
Could be anybody.
Anybody's guess.
I tried to park it straight, like so that it wasn't like on the yard.
Yeah, no, it wasn't on the yard, not on the curb, but it was good. What's with the voicey oi there?
A little raspy.
Oh, are we?
Oh,
ill?
I like it. Oh.
Just what?
No, just tired.
Oh, God. That's the. Al's got the old
that'll wake you up
blender
right
going.
That'll start.
Oh, get the mugs. Are we gonna do kind of the cunt mugs? Oh, we have something else to celebrate. Speaking of,
oh my God,
we have so many things going on.
Menti
things.
We have done it before.
No, you're fine.
We have done it before. We will do it again. The celebration of stuff. Hi, Al.
I'm gonna put that on my calendar. The celebration of stuff.
We should.
January 6th.
It's the Festivus. Yeah.
My sister's birthday and the celebration.
Oh, happy birthday, sis.
Happy birthday, Becky.
Becky?
Oh, happy birthday,
she doesn't
Becky.
Listen.
No.
She'll never hear it.
I'm really not surprised that Becky doesn't listen. Not surprised in the least that Becky doesn't listen.
Yeah.
Did she make it all the way to San Francisco?
Yes. She did.
Good?
Yeah. Made it all the way.
With the boyfriend, or did she kill him or have to eat him on the way?
I presume he's still alive. Okay. I think he posted on Facebook last week. So
good point.
Depends on if they're in Florida.
Good point. Oh, by the way, just before you two got here, we were sharing, Katie had a revelation about Google Alerts, where you can set an alert and it lets you know when things are posted or happen on Facebook. And I explained to her that's the modern day stalking.
Yeah.
That's
I've been missing out.
I don't know what that is.
So you can set, okay, so I did it for work, right? Which is like the reasonable way to use it. So
or whatever.
So I
yeah, goddamn.
It was. She said with an air of judgment.
Yes.
So like I set it to say Kyrsten Sinema and or any iteration thereof. So then whenever a news story happens, her name pops up and I see that and I can read it.
And it literally gives you an email alert saying...
At the end of every day, right. I got an email alert.
Oh, no. I have mine set as it happens.
Oh, yes.
So I get multiple a day.
Yes.
Yes.
And you get whenever you set. I used to have mine at the end of the day. So I'd see like what news was happening. But I have... clearly been missing out on the opportunity to stalk folks.
No, the beautiful thing about that is you can set any variation of your name. Like, for example, if somebody, your name, you know, Katie, is it K-A-T-I-E, K-A-T-Y?
Right.
You know, any variation of your name, because if people were to misspell it, and I'm sure with Kyrsten,
oh, yeah.
Sinema, there's many different variations. You could program all of those in, and any variation thereof will give you an alert. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying, I have all of our names programmed into my Google alert, so if any of our names come up, Q Talk America, the show, any of that, I get an alert.
I want to do something newsworthy, so I'll come up on your alerts.
But also, the better thing is, if some asshole out there who keeps calling you from a certain number or you know the name of somebody that you want to keep kind of your finger on the pulse,
yes,
program their name in, and anytime they do something and it comes up on the web, you get an alert. Somebody owes you $1 million, and all of a sudden, I'm broke. Right. But they just bought a new boat, you know, it comes up, you know, so-and-so, they post a thing about a boat or whatever. Mm. You get all kinds of information from Google Alerts.
That is so good, Clayton.
This week on Clayton McKee, Repo Man.
Go get that boat.
I like the way he thinks.
No, but I even have things like, and I do this for an identity. I have my mom's name in a Google Alert. If her name, and oddly, there are only, I think, so far, I've only felt like there's literally two other women in the country or in the world named the same as my mother.
Okay. Legitimize their drink with a
shoe?
Well, definitely. Of course. Why the hell not?
Most deaf.
Most deaf.
Cherry and bitch.
But,
I thought that was an actor.
Rap artist.
Oh. Okay, batch number two of the... Oh, you know what I need?
Like a spoon?
I need a fork. Oh, my God. That's...
Yeah, I think the 70s are calling.
I don't know why you've broken No, I don't think. I think it's perfectly fine. It'll work out lovely.
Next batch is ready.
It's a delight.
What happened?
So tasty.
Oh, isn't this lovely?
Oh no!
I think Marnie's getting
I mean, it's good stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-oh. For those of you in my house that may be listening, I may not be taking the children to work, to school, to wherever they're going in the morning.
Wait, where do they go again? What are those guys doing?
I don't
know.
They leave in the morning and they go somewhere, and I usually drive them, and that may not happen.
Oh. Now, here, I'm going to pass this along. Oh, hell.
So the guy I work with, we were supposed to meet this morning, as we do in the mornings,
like
and
you do.
Work.
It's called work, and you go there.
It is.
Like put a cherry.
It's called work. You go there. It's a thing you do.
Yeah, I've heard
so
of
anyway,
it.
So I go there, and he's not there. And I was thinking, well, I have this conference call I have to do. I'm going to leave and whatever else. So then he texts me later and says, shit, I'm so hungover, is just his
text. I feel like that's an excused absence.
Yeah.
Does he happen to have a podcast somewhere? Because maybe we should link up with him.
I know. And I go, yeah, no, it's fine. I'm going to work from home today, so you just keep your PJs on.
Just kind of do what you got
to
do.
And he goes, no, I have to get something from you. It's whatever. So I was like, all right, well, you just let me know. Like, I'm here, and I'm, like, sober, and I got my shit ready, so you let me know. So he texts me. He says, I'll be by in a bit.
Sure.
About 3.5 hours later,
after
I get the, hey, I'm going to come by. About 30 minutes after that, his girlfriend drives him to the house. He rolls out wearing what he had on last night, which is really
totally
weird since they live together. And he's like, yeah.
Oh, really?
He's like, I don't know. I don't know. My car might be at the new Fez. It could be at one of the bars downtown. I'm going to go look for it now. And then I'm going to go drop this money off. Money off. Yeah, sure. This is important. And I just was like, I just shook my head.
Did he happen to say, only because I have there's a story that I know of that I'm not really going to share, except for, were tequila shots, do you know, involved in his night?
Yeah.
Oh.
Then I already know the backstory of, his car was probably at Fez, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Found out a little bit about that the next day. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Could have been bad.
There was a meeting. Yeah, there was a meeting. They wanted to go over the policy.
Was it anonymous?
No.
Or should it now be?
The meeting was about how do we tactfully cut off customers? Wouldn't make that up.
Yep, that's my friend.
That's probably
that
him.
That is my friend.
I hope he found
with
his
the
car.
Shit, I'm so hungover.
Yeah, well.
Text first thing
I like
in the morning.
That. If I get out of more meetings, I never had meetings, but if I could get out of them doing it, I am so hungover. Because
really,
it doesn't work for me because I always go to meetings in bars with people who own bars.
Right. Yeah, I really do feel like that's an excused absence, though.
Yeah.
I feel like if we were supposed to meet and you texted me, shit, girl, I'm so hungover. I'd be like, all right, well,
listen, I get it.
A, I've got Bloody Mary mix, or two, call me later. I don't, whichever way you want to go.
I think
this.
That is an appropriate, you know, like an emergency break glass or fill a glass with Bloody Mary mix.
Save the glass.
I like that.
Now, my new thing is that the toilet paper commercial, lose the tube. Hashtag lose the tube.
I'm gonna write that down. Hashtag.
I don't know why that struck me as so funny this morning.
It is funny.
Because I feel like as a failing gay man, I lost the tube.
Yeah.
Well, and in that commercial, they tell you that over the course of a year, there are so many of those tubes thrown away that you could build the Empire State Building. There's a dramatic pause.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah.
No, it is. And actually, I want to lose the tube. I want to hashtag lose that tube. But every time I go to the grocery store, I like forget about it until I'm throwing the fucking tube in the garbage at home.
Well,
and I remember I want to lose the tube.
So what brand is it that we are to be buying to be losing?
That is a good question. I do not know.
There's only a way to look that up.
If only there was a thing.
I bet we can
I think if you went to hashtag lose the tube.
I'm literally going to do that right now.
I'm just going to hijack this conversation.
Please
do. Toilet paper commercials have gotten out of control. First, it's the bear with the shitty ass.
That is
the non-shitty ass.
Yeah, it has to have constant reinforcement.
With the little flex,
just grow too much.
Ooh, I almost typed in loose the tube.
Very different images
that's
are going
be
to come out.
That's going to be a whole other website.
You're going to end up somewhere near ass clown.
Lots of different
things. Oh, not the ass clown again.
Or Bukkake Party. One of the two.
Oh, stop it.
At a clown college.
Damn it. At a clown college.
Remember
that's
that?
That's very funny. I do not want to eat that biscuit. I just want to let you know.
No, but don't you remember where we got that?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was so funny. I hate this picture, but she looked like she just came from a Bukkake Party at Concord. Joan Rivers.
I love the word Bukkake Party.
By the way, I haven't seen him chime into the chat room just yet, but I do have, and I think I posted a message. I don't know how he found it, but just I guess he Googled me. I found the address for Tomo in New Zealand so that we can send a care package to him of Pop-Tarts and whatever else, I guess, craisins or whatever the fuck else we want to send.
How does he feel about a gas used thing in nuts? Because that's all I have.
Could we bring it next week?
No, it doesn't make, I don't think he's in any big hurry. But he asked about where, and I gave him my address so that he can send stuff from New Zealand. And I don't know what they have over there that we can't get or what is there.
Vegemite. No, that's Australia.
That's Australia.
That.
But, they're just us.
I work with some people from Australia, and they spread that shit, and it's like...
It's really bad.
It's nasty.
Mm. But anyway, I don't know what he's going to... send to us, but we may be getting a care package. I will alert you all.
That is so exciting. I want to start having care package pen pals around the rest of the world. So if you're listening to us from even another country or a ship at sea,
I think let us know how to get something to Tomo since he had already sent us.
Right. Yes. Let's follow through on the first priority.
Yeah, we'll get that.
Always. Good suggestion, Marn. Yeah.
Only
glad you
actually believe that.
I'm glad you came today.
We'll get that.
Marnie keeping it real, Ryan.
Keeping it real. Just following through.
I'm just keeping it real.
Can we put parentheticals under her name?
Oh, by all means.
Please do.
Yeah. I don't know what we'd be. Marnie Ryer parenthetically...
Keeping it real.
Yeah. Oh, the real keeper?
Yeah. Keeping it real. Oh. With the sure. N apostrophe.
Oh,
yeah. Drop the G.
Absolutely.
Drop
like
the
that.
G.
Yeah.
That's very hip-hop-ish of you.
20 years ago, hip-hop-ish, yes.
Yeah, very good.
I like it.
20 years ago. Hey.
Most deaf. I think I got that one.
Most deaf comedy jam.
Right on top of...
Now it's totes deaf. Totes deaf. Very different.
Totally.
Very different. Lordy. Okay, well, now that we're all here and present and accounted for, Katie June, how's your week?
Hi.
Hi.
So good. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, keep going. I'm gonna turn the fan up.
It was it was such a super great week. I missed you all last week. I was
drunk,
just playing in this. Yeah,
yeah. Yes. Okay.
Some serious snow I saw. Yeah.
Really serious snow. So it was when my folks drove up the day after Christmas, and they couldn't make it up their hill. I mean, they like live out in the forest, and they had chains, and they had. The wrong size of chains, that was a whole other problem. But they have four-wheel drive and the whole thing, they couldn't make it up. My sister had to walk through hip-high snow because the snow plow that plows their drive and their whole, because they live on their own street, had broken. So there was, it was just a whole thing. So she had to walk with the dogs through hip-high snow,
in fairness,
uphill, both fucking ways, you know, like the whole thing.
In fairness, your sister's not a statuesque woman. She's not like, she's a little shorter.
She's about 5'4".
Okay,
yeah.
So hip-high.
But still, 2 feet of snow. Yeah.
It's a lot of snow. Yeah. And got into their house, which, when their house has been sitting with no heat and no one there, it is like, you talk about the Stone Cold Palace.
Yeah.
This shit is literally a fucking freezer. I mean, it's like not even an igloo, because igloos like keep it warm. Yeah. This is like an ice box, and it's just horrible. Kelly and I got there the next day after it was warmed up and the snow had been plowed. That was nice. But there was still a lot of snow.
It's called good timing, darling.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Great. Really easy drive. It was just fun. We just like really had a fun time. We played games and drank a lot and skied every day. And we were supposed to come home on the 1st of this month.
Or the year.
Both are good, correct answers.
Thank you. Sure. And because we always, our New Year's Eve is like the lamest, but I love it that way. We ski all day on New Year's Eve. Like, there's a band playing at the lodge. You know, you drink a couple beers, go home. I'm lighting fireworks and like toasting champagne at about 9.
So you like the new Google thing that can fool the kids?
Oh,
not that you needed to.
We did. Palmer was like staying up late to try to make the fireworks at 9 p.m. I was legitimately trying to make it to 10. Yeah. So that I could hit New Year's some point in this country. Didn't happen.
Oh.
Well, hey, you did like Nova Scotia. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Newfoundland, thanks for celebrating.
I was like 9:45. Yeah, right.
You're welcome. Enjoying it.
I don't know how they say that. Yeah. So anyway, it was really fun. So we wake up on the 1st to drive home, and it had snowed all night long. And like, there was no getting out. The roads were closed. The freeways were closed. Everything was closed. So it was just really fun because you just kind of had like this extra day.
A snow day.
And we couldn't go ski because we literally couldn't drive our cars out. The one car that sits outside of the garage was buried. So we just made Bloody Marys, and my mom made pancakes, and we like ate this really super fabulous breakfast. We just started drinking at 8 a.m. And then
the Perkins family approves of this plan.
It was great. There are these hills around their home, and so, you know, the driveway, and then there's this big water hill. So we were, and it was just fun. It was my brother and his friend and my sister, Kelly Palmer, my parents. We were sledding. We were having snowball fights. I was snowboarding down the drive. I mean, it was just a fun, fun, fun time. So a very good way to start off the new year with a buzz in the snow.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
So it was really fun.
Very good.
And then came home to real life. Hashtag what the fuck.
Lose the tube, yeah.
Which is hard to do. Although...
I just think that's so funny.
It made me giggle this morning.
I'm surprised it's not in their commercial. Like, that's not the... I mean,
it's the end of the commercial.
But it's not hashtag.
Like, yeah.
It does say?
That's why I told you.
I thought you just made that up.
No.
When you Google hashtag lose the tube, you get a lot of spare tire action happening here. Yeah, well, right. Darn. We need that. But I will tell you...
We need that.
So
lose the tub is also very different, just so you know.
The drive home, though, and I didn't get to see all of the snow, obviously, in Phoenix, because I was where it was covered in snow.
Mm-hmm.
Or South Phoenix, I know, like in Chandler, a lot of snow in Tucson.
Scottsdale, I heard.
Yeah. But I will tell you, we drove home, we drive home through the reservation, so all the way down through northern Arizona, and through some of the Painted Desert and Monument Valley, and it was just breathtaking. I mean, it really was stunning coming home on the 2nd. Snow everywhere, but like the perfect amount where you could still see some red rock and some of the desert and the monument. I mean, it was really spectacular. And some stretches of road where it's just flat and, you know, reservation, that was just the clouds were settled right to the road. But it wasn't fog, so it wasn't uncomfortable to drive in. It was daylight. I mean, it was just beautiful.
I did that trip to Vegas a couple years ago where I didn't have a smartphone yet.
Yeah.
Or the navigation in my car, so I was calling everybody. I went all the way to the 303 and up to avoid a snowstorm that was going on.
The 303 is so pretty.
But on the way home, a couple days later, the snowstorm was gone, but I drove back through the desert over the dam, and to see the high desert covered in snow, it was so pretty, but I don't know if it was pretty because it's so unusual, but you know what I mean? It was back to being an ice-cold blue sky day, so it was like blue skies, mm-hmm. and then the desert was kind of greenish because we'd had a little bit of rain, and then covered in white snow. And it was one of those things where I'm like, okay, I have to pull over and look at this because I'm just going to crash. Because I'm like, ooh, that's pretty.
And we were trying to take pictures, but you just can't do it justice. I mean, it was just and there were no cars on the road. It just felt like it was just us. It was really neat. And I was reading, while I was driving. Book on tape. The only way to go. Right. Only way to read. Wild. And so she's talking about her trek through, the High Sierras. And I was, and in my head, because I have my headphones on to ignore the kid and the wife and the car. And I,
like you do.
Hashtag good parenting.
And so I'm like
hashtag
trekking.
Hashtag lose the family.
Hashtag keeping that marriage alive.
It's true. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm trekking through I was trekking in my head through the High Sierras, but without the foot blisters because I had a warm car, like I wasn't camping in the snow. I was just driving through it. It was just like a really perfect.
By trekking, you mean driving your SUV. Right.
Hashtag white women's
problems. Yes. Ignoring the white woman hitchhiking trying to get back. Yeah.
I was also wearing my Uggs, like I actually do, drinking my, caramel
macchiato.
Macchiato from Starbucks.
Played. Hot. Jeez.
And anyway, fun times. So I missed you guys on last Tuesday, but I was drinking in the snow, so it was a good time.
But we were drinking here, so we're good. Yeah. All the way around.
And were we?
Very well.
We were certainly drinking here. I celebrated New Year's Eve in a much different way. I worked at Stacy's that night, so I was wall-to-wall drunken celebratory gaze.
Okay.
On New Year's Eve. Happy New Year. And it was...
Saw a lot of fun pictures.
Fantastically busy, a lot of fun pictures. I saw none of them. I saw just the people I could touch.
Dark.
It was busy all night.
Carlton and I were there at the beginning of your shift.
I did see you at the very beginning of my shift.
We managed to put away a lot in about 2.5 hours there.
I didn't want to bring it up, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right.
That was good.
They lost the tube.
Had to go work.
Their tube was lost when I got there.
Yeah.
And I still
New Year's Day.
Never drank at BS West.
Oh.
I was working. Like, I just don't know how anybody does that.
Oh, drink while working?
Yeah.
Well, you should have already had Mary's.
Yeah. No shit.
Boy. They could have taught you a thing or two.
You know what? Cooler.
People ask me all the time, and I can't even fathom it. They're like, hey, we can buy shots for people in other states. I'm like, how the fuck do they do it? They have to spit it out, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Or shit gets real, real messy at the end of the night. I'm not sure.
Sometimes you just throw the money in the air instead of putting it in the floor safe. And then you wake up in Marnie's bed the next day. I mean,
I was most of the time sober working 5 nights a week at the bar because I didn't drink 5 nights a week.
Super sober working at the bars myself. So worked New Year's Eve at Stacy's and New Year's Day at Cobalt. And
that's fun.
Yeah, had a really great time.
But did you have to be there early for the Adventures and Hangover?
I did not have to be there for Adventures. No, I was the sweeper. Oh, it was the cleanup crew.
But how did How did Adventures go? Is it good?
Amazingly, yeah. Apparently, like record-breaking attendance, and fantastic for Cobalt and the Adventures and Hangovers.
I did that 1 year. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, there's a local bar here in Phoenix that does, a New Year's Day thing called Adventures and Hangovers, where you get there at 8 a.m. After you've partied all night the night before.
Bar opens at 8 a.m.
and you're,
nobody's cleaned up since the night before. That party's still just fucking going.
And you're wearing, a bathrobe or PJs. Like, they encourage you.
Oh, yeah, there's pajama contests. Yes. And
so anyway, that's
so
what
people show up. Kat is talking about.
She was the cleanup woman
stages.
for that.
Most of the adventure was cleaned up by the time I got there, and I actually had a lovely evening of more respectable revelers that came in the evening and had a wonderful
people
time.
Already
there.
Slept it off.
Yeah, and then the next day I got up and I took the kids to see Into the Woods.
Oh my God.
I haven't gone yet. Home before, dark.
I haven't gone yet.
Nice. To the festival?
The festival.
The King's Festival.
Yeah. And so then, as an aftermath of that, I picked up the kids today from school, and I picked up the oldest one, and I had some sort of, gay, playlist happening with all kinds of musical stuff. And I was listening to a song from Into the Woods. I was listening to Agony and just kind of singing and being really loud, and he was kind of chuckling in the back. And then, I've done my job so well. My job so well. Next on the playlist comes We Both Reach for the Gun from Chicago.
Yes,
we both reach. And from the back seat, he's like, I like this one. This one's funny. And I was like... I love you so much, but then it gets better. Wait, so then he says, hey, next can we hear the one from Into the Woods where Little Red Riding Hood is stealing the cookies? And I started bawling, like, I'm driving down Scottsdale Road.
I love this moment.
This is the best moment of my life.
I have chills for your moments.
I know.
Yeah.
It's life for only moments, even not a bad one.
I know.
I can't wait to see it.
So, very exciting that is, like, sinking into his little head as I,
that's
you know,
good parenting.
All of the bad things
and
that I put in his head.
Is this Armand?
This is Armand. Yeah, this is the oldest.
So fun. Wow. Good for him.
I'm very excited. And other than that, it's been just work, and that's here we are, yet another Tuesday. And I'm,
yes. Yeah. They just, every from about 5 to 7 days, they come around. Go up one.
I sort of hate to ask it, but do you have a basket?
Is she going to buy any of this?
Yeah.
Can I just very quickly, because I saw Anna Kendrick.
Are we
going to
break into song? Oh, because I'm ready.
I saw her on shit. The show with Andy Cohen.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And he said to her, you know, which do you think, like, what cast would beat each other in a sing-off, right? Your Pitch Perfect cast or your Into the Woods cast? And she said,
Meryl Streep.
So she goes, I should. Like, I'm sad that I don't have to think about this. Like, I should just, like, fake a pause. Like, I maybe have to think about it. But it's Into the Woods, like, hands down. Mm-hmm. It is the hardest. It is the hardest, some of the hardest music I've ever sung. It is,
I've been trying all week.
For that,
like, it's fucking,
like,
hard.
Really intense. It's so incredible. And the singers are amazing. So it was just kind of, you know, I mean, Pitch Perfect is a movie about singing. Yeah. And he was like, who beats, right? And yeah. So it was just kind of fun. I was just made me more excited. I still have obviously not
and on,
seen it,
and on the movie soundtrack, just that full Lush orchestra. And they were saying, like, if you go to the theater, even on Broadway, the most you're going to hear is maybe an 11 piece orchestra, a band. You know what I mean? They're in the pit. It's not going to be a large ensemble. They brought in, like, everyone from, like, the London Symphony scene, and it's just so Lush.
Yeah. And every time you listen, you can hear it.
My nipples just got hard thinking about it. When she hits that last note and Stay With Me, I'm like, just give the bitch her Oscar. You know what I mean? Just give her another one. Throw it at her. Save us a couple minutes. Like, we're done.
Wow.
Real fun. Sorry to take it there. But
if you like musicals,
I do. I enjoy those. Yep. I'm gonna just get the. I'm gonna get the soundtrack. I'll get that. And then at some point, when I'm 50 or 60, I'll see the movie.
I encourage getting the big 50 track one, but I mean, whatever you get.
There's
the one with all of the instrumental, like, it's the whole movie.
I'm not buying anything truncated or condensed. I don't even know what those words mean.
Yeah, that's all that's been playing in my
car. You guys, I'm buying it right now. I can't wait.
Well, there you go.
Yay!
Whatever label it is, you're welcome. We sold it out. Yeah.
All Apple devices are syncing up and Katie's buying
Disney thanks you.
Yeah, Marina. Oh, it is on Disney Records.
It is Disney, yeah.
It's just been a long week.
And clearly, we walked all the way through it.
Yeah.
No sleep at all, like, for days?
Yeah, slept a little bit. We had a mild...
You have a jailbreak from an animal?
No, we had a mild ruckus between two animals last night.
No.
Mild ruckus between a big dog and a Swiffer.
Oh.
And which big dog?
The big Huck dog.
The new dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the new.
Yeah.
I saw Facebook.
I ended up at the emergency animal thing
with Swiffer?
With Swiffer until about 5 o'clock this morning. So
that's so fun.
He's a rehab.
Did he learn his lesson? That's the point I'm trying.
Well, I think so, because he looked like a chew toy, kind of being thrown around. So that was exciting and a lot.
Oh, no.
And a lot. So anyway, just very tired, so I apologize.
You sound hot and sexy.
Well, thank you.
So there's that, at least.
I've got that going for me, which is nice.
Thanks, man. It's lovely to have Margot Kidder here.
That's right. She's crazy, too, so that's...
Well, there is that.
I didn't hear...
Your teeth are all in your face. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, these are mine. That's true.
I didn't hear about Huck, but I saw the picture. Can I have, like, the Reader's Digest version of...
So Christmas Day, he was running, and we got him. He had no collar, no nothing, and we just got him to the house.
A nice dog out for a jog.
For 2 weeks, apparently.
Scooped up by the kidnapping lesbians.
That's right.
How did you know this?
The mailman, everybody in the neighborhood was talking about it. I hadn't seen him, because I just stay in my house, in case dogs are running wild.
Yeah.
That way I can avoid it. But yeah, he's a really good boy, except for that throwing the dog around thing last night. That was a lot. But other than that, everything...
I feel like that's going to work itself out.
Yeah, I'm thinking it probably won't.
I feel like at some point there will be a clear victor.
I think it's going to be Swiffer. I think it's Swiffer. Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, that was just sad. It was a very frustrating kind of thing, but it's been a lovely week otherwise.
You know what the whole problem was? That, because remember, I've talked to you about this.
Yeah.
Swiffer can't see where he's going, and he ran into the big dog. Because you don't ever cut the bangs of the dog.
Actually, I have to be honest with you, and it makes me laugh. You might be right.
Oh.
In part. The part, though, is his back end. Huck's back end, because Huck is not fixed. Yet. We're taking him to get him fixed one way or another. Like, we'd get him fixed whether he stays with me or not.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Rudy deserved a little bit of this. I don't know. Because he's bitten him in the nuts 3 times. Like, I can't make that up. And I didn't see what
happened. Hashtag asking for it.
Yeah. It's time to lose the tube.
Lose the tube on that. Show me on the dog where he bit you.
That was actually literal. Wow. Yeah. There you go, Molly. There you go. Bitch.
So it was a lot. Wow. And, you know, perhaps I can see why Huck might be like, listen.
Listen, bitch.
You little Tom Sawyer motherfucker. Yeah. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah.
Biting my nuts.
Yeah, that's right. Stop it.
Wow.
Get off my nuts.
So,
yeah. For real.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Well.
But I saw him do it. I saw him do it 3 different times. He just run up and nip and then run away, and Huck would be like,
motherfucker.
And it was funny
that
at the
is
time.
Funny.
And then maybe in theory, not that 4th time.
But not so right. funny.
4th time you're out.
Not so much funny when you're at the hospital until 5 a.m.
Yeah.
But like funny
that's
in theory.
Different. That's different then. But that maybe I couldn't see him. Maybe.
He won't be able
like
to.
A tiny glimpse. He's like,
I'm guessing maybe by this time next week, probably won't be able to see him. Won't be able to find him.
Maybe
that
not.
Would be good.
Just maybe a guess.
Yeah,
that is really funny.
Might be a good guess.
That is quite.
So,
that is kind of.
So cool. Anyway, that's really been the week. Just trying to finagle different dogs. We did do one thing that was very very fun though. Oh. Well, we did a couple things that were very fun. We went up north.
You would, yes. The winery.
We went to Page Springs with a couple of really good friends. That was
up in Cornhole.
In Cornhole, as it were. And it was so fun. So fun. Cornville.
Lost
for those
the tube.
That,
yeah.
Get out of my tube. Page Springs, wonderful winery. And met a couple of friends up there that are living in Prescott, in from out of town. And we went to the Gladly on Saturday.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Really good. It's still on my to-do. I have my to-do list on here. Whenever things are connected. When somebody has a conversation about a restaurant or something, I type it in there.
I don't usually go on to Yelp and put anything. It's, I think, the first review I've ever written, and I just couldn't not. It was amazing.
It's so good.
Yeah, and Lex Espinoza was there when I walked through the door and remembered me right away, and I kind of looked up because we were just rushing in. And
probably
late.
Shocking.
No, actually not. But it was lovely. It was not that time.
Yeah.
This one time we weren't.
One time, yes.
Just that one time at band camp. But it was wonderful to see him and our waiter. I mean, just everything about it. Everything about it was delightful.
I have heard nothing but great things about that.
It was really good. I went there in October for it was Ruben's birthday.
Yeah.
A bunch of us there. And it was fantastic.
And good drinks.
Good, really everything. There wasn't one complaint. The chopped salad that they have is to die for, except it has salmon in it. And so as Tim, our server, was explaining it, I was like, oh, it's so super good. And I kind of... like, okay, well, I'll watch them enjoy
wilted.
It. Because, exactly. Not a huge salmon fan, seafood fan. And so, all of a sudden, he just saw the look on my face. I didn't make a big deal of it. I was just like, no, we'll take that and whatever. And he said, not a fan of that? And I'm like, no, it's fine. They'll really enjoy it. Not a big deal. He comes out with one that has chicken so that I could enjoy it as well. Yeah, done.
So
fell
good.
In love with him and the salad.
Oh,
and
very
it was
good.
All,
and I,
yeah, but
I
what
love
great
salmon.
Service. What great service to pay attention to that and notice. And I was really impressed. Really impressed.
Very good. Yeah.
Very good.
And I forget who all is behind that, but Jason Carlton knew all of them, like the people that owned it and ran it and started it all. But
House
used to be Citizen
Thank you.
House in Scottsdale. Yes. Or not used to be. It is
it
the
is,
same.
Right.
Oh, okay, got
right.
it. Got it.
Right. So, but really, if you whether you come into Phoenix, if you are in Phoenix, or just you know any of us, go. Really wonderful.
Yeah.
Hmm. Nifty.
And there's, I mean, there's so many good restaurants now that. It's hard. It's hard to fit them all in.
Can't swing a dead cat without hitting a restaurant.
Not that this is like not certainly fun for listeners who don't who are at sea or abroad, but there is so
all the ships at sea
on the corner of Central and Camelback. Have we seen what they're doing? And the AJ's complex. No. It's right here in our hood.
It's just there. Like bought this right there.
I was there for Sweet Tomatoes last day.
Sweet Tomatoes closed. Good Egg closed. Boston Market. Boom. Bye bye.
That's gonna take him to a whole new level.
Oh my god.
All gay roller skating rink is going in right now.
So ta-da.
Clayton McKee is the owner.
So let's see. Okay. The dry cleaners, the nail shop, like all of that shit's going. The Fresh Vitamins place went. Like the antique store is going. The backs, the relax.
Now my
the
nail
back.
Place. The nail place said they were just remodeling and that they would be reopening. They were relocating
and they're moving. Yes, just relocate. Most of the places are not like leaving for life. They're just relocating.
Laser tag.
So the big anchors that are staying there are the Applebee's, which is slammed.
That's all good.
What? After 8 p.m., if you want dinner or 9 p.m., you know what I found out a couple of years ago? Applebee's is your choice. You either have Denny's with Moons Over My Hammy or Applebee's.
Applebee's
going low rent or low rent.
The Applebee's remodeled. It actually looks really great.
They totes did that last summer.
And Sway Events did some events for them and did some stuff for them. And anyway, they're staying. And the AJ's. And I really hope the UPS store, because I use that. And I like the sub shop. So let's see what happens there. Sure. But they're redoing the whole entire complex. And they're bringing in like all like Fox restaurants are coming in there. Like North? Sexy. Wildflower.
Sauce.
No. Wildflower, or not Wildflower, Flower Child. Flower Child is over on 44th and Camelback. It's like a hippy-dippy kind of a cool shop. Chipotle is coming in. Chipotle is
going
to be in
there. Where is the Boston Market
Street
going?
Not know, but I think Chipotle is going to the Boston Market.
No. But the question is,
he doesn't care about that.
Is it coming back?
He needs Boston Market.
I don't think so.
I think you lost the tube there.
Yeah.
Just give me a call. There's one on 44th and Thomas.
You're losing that tube.
I know.
I'm writing it down so that I can go to their website and inquire.
Make inquiries.
But Chipotle is exciting.
Yeah. I do enjoy the Chipotle.
Anyway, and they're like redoing the whole entire thing to have... I don't know.
AJ's
they're like
is staying.
AJ's is staying.
Okay, that was my understanding.
And they're making back that they're doing like grassy areas and like a fun, cool, hangouty kind of a cool shopping.
Like, are they trying to make a Scottsdale quarter?
Place had been and all
think
that?
About the place on 44th and Camelback, the Village area.
Yeah,
those Village shops. Like they're kind of trying to make it like that.
Okay,
but there's an AJ's there. The Flower Child is there, so they're kind of
now,
making it.
What the rumblings? Because obviously, I live in this neighborhood, and I hear
Boston
all,
Market is not coming back.
No, I hear about a lot of the people in the neighborhoods that are behind that aren't excited about this because they like the little shopping center they had that had everything they needed in it.
Yeah,
and now they're trying to they're uppitying the whole goddamn thing. Yeah. And because a lot of the people didn't care for the restaurants that
uppity
are coming
away.
In.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am like because
it is your
yuppie.
One stop.
I'm a yuppie away.
Kitchen's your dry cleaning, your tailoring, your nails done. You get
now,
your AJ's.
Across the street is the best tailor on earth. That's the Russian guy. By the cheese and stuff, which is the best sandwich shop on earth. I mean, like I've
no, and that's what I meant about in that same area.
I love that little strip. Yeah. And the jewelry shop, which is going
they're
out of
gone.
Business, they closed. Which I retired. Which I used them for everything: watch batteries to like cleaning my jewelry and fixing. And I love them.
And that Russian tailor's the shit.
They're the bomb.
And they're cousins with the barber shop right next door. They're all.
Yeah, they're
family.
All the Rose Russians are super duper. And I love the woman. And I go in for a button, and she's like, "You know how to fix a button yet?" And she gives me a hard time. I'm like, "I don't. I still don't. But I'm giving you business."
But
so
you still have a job.
Button. Yeah. And I love her. No, she's so good. She's like, I love her.
They're also good for shoes. I've taken a few pairs of shoes.
I have taken so many shoes. Yeah. Yes, it's a good.
If I can't get to
Russians,
Tony's, which I like to go, I prefer
I've taken
to
luggage,
to.
And they're good. Oh. Yeah, I have taken luggage.
Hard on luggage apparently, Katie. You're apparently hard on luggage.
But anyway, I just wanted to share. I'm excited for the new. Yay! like fun new restaurants and like new shops.
Nope, right?
She never has a second cup at home. God, you're just fucking wired of this.
I guess so. I am just so crazy pumped about this new. And the UPS store, they're not going anywhere. That's my staple. AJ's and UPS store.
And again, nobody gives a shit about this outside of Phoenix, but I thought that what they were doing is they were going to drop all of it, and they're rebuilding, and AJ's was going to be gone for a while, but it was coming back there.
No, I didn't know.
They're leaving that actual building?
I think they're leaving the actual building, and they're just like resurfacing, refinishing it.
But where the eggery and all that, that's gone. They're literally leveling that,
they
right?
They might. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Can you get more facts together before you bring a story?
God damn it.
Aaron, thank you for the link to Boston Market in the chat room. Thank you for that.
I know.
Your fears.
Okay. Sorry, everybody, but that's it is an exciting time at Central and Camelback in
Phoenix,
Arizona.
My God.
In our hood. So I rang in the new year with you all and the good people of the other side of the timeline, because I was so fucking hungover by Wednesday morning at 5-6 o'clock.
Oh.
Yeah, I was done.
Oh.
Because it turns out doing the kitchen sink, literal kitchen sink version of drinking, of emptying all of Katie and I's wine in your champagne.
Oh, I wondered. I thought the fridge looked exceptionally clean.
No, yeah, I drank it all.
Yeah.
End of the year.
Turns out the 10-day sober was a little bit more than I was ready for.
Yeah.
You may have had help.
Yeah.
We had to take Huck the next day to the vet, and my phone was in her car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I gotta get out of the car right now, and I have to go up. I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, okay, so you guys celebrated New Year's Eve.
Not on purpose.
Hashtag accident.
We lost the tube. just a day early, and New Year's Day was just... New Year's Eve, I was out of commission. Mm-hmm. I made it to... I did New Year's Eve with Kathy and Cooper. And Anderson.
Yeah, fun.
Thank God that we in the now currently enjoying Mountain Standard Time got to... it was 10... whatever that was. It was
10 o'clock.
10, 11, and then 12, right?
I tried to make it through, and I think I maybe saw a couple minutes of Nolan's get to New Year's Eve, and I'm like, you know what?
Done.
Put a nail
Peace
in it.
Out, bitches.
Time of death, 11:15. I went to bed. New Year's Day did a movie and Chinese food with the Wilk.
Oh, and that's fun.
We had to call that one a day at like 8:15 in the p.m.
Sure had a good time getting there, though.
8:15, yeah.
Sure had a good time getting there.
Still hungover.
Lord have mercy.
I could not even look at liquor. Like, no. I was like, nah, but take that shit away.
How am I the only one that didn't end up hungover?
I wasn't either.
Yeah, okay, good.
No, I was, because I bounced up the next day and I had to use
it. This one rolled up to my house to get her phone, and I was like, oh, sorry about that.
I was a lovely shit.
But when you're
Ernie was kind of yelling
at me.
Your
car on the grass?
No, she parked in front of the house, and then 4 days later, she sends me a text. By the way, I'm sorry about not picking up my car. We're gonna get it this afternoon. I promise.
Sunday.
That's awesome.
Remember,
that's fine.
Didn't make any difference to me.
Oh, the HOA didn't
that
complain.
Is so, so great. You're just like, just fucking leave it for days. Who cares?
Yes.
Aaron couldn't move. I couldn't. It was done.
My favorite part, though, was I answered the door and she's standing there. And then Ernie's in the car going, hey, come here a minute. What did you do?
Oops.
She's yelling at me.
What did you do about what?
What'd you do?
Well,
to her.
I may or may not have dropped Ernie off and then... fed Marnie and I more booze.
Oh, that's right. You did tell me that.
That needed to happen.
Oh, sure did. There
it is.
That needed to happen.
I was not able to consume any more liquor ever until tonight. Like a week later, I'm finally looking at the dog again. Fuck hair of the dog. I can even like see the dog running away.
Ernie, sorry about that. Next time we'll drop Margaret off first, and you and I will go.
What a good idea.
And then the full moon was
full.
The full moon just kicked our asses at work, and it was just a shitty four days. Finally, at like 5 o'clock this morning, I started paging the house soup, and I'm like, listen, people. I was going to say listen, bitch, but she's very nice.
People like, of the village.
Mama's got to go.
Just like, is it really true? Because I feel like I notice people get crazier at full moons.
I've never really noticed it before. My sister Debbie says that the new moon usually makes people crazier than she finds. This was the first time that there was a full moon, and they weren't crazy. It was just a shit show of work.
Yeah.
And, like, all of us were just emotionally drained and finished. And so, like, the manager, like, she got the message at, like, 6:05, and she just walked into the doors of our unit and waved at me. And I'm like, I'm taking that as a goodbye. She's from Scotland. I don't know what that custom means. Until I find out that she means sit in your chair, someone else is coming. I'm walking. So it was good. I got over early, did a little eat the feelings this morning, and slept till way too late to be here. And now we're here to have fun. And it was funny. A friend of mine said, it's such a good thing that you have that thing to go to, your show to go to every Tuesday night and have a laugh after the way this. I'm like, yeah, that's going to come in handy tomorrow. They're like, are you going to break into booze this morning? I'm like, no, we don't want to do that yet. Yeah. Still a little raw.
Well, I didn't understand quite what your post meant. You posted something earlier today about, I can't drink yet, but I'm holding out for night. And I thought, well, what's going on in your world?
Oh, just stressful work. And I love this, that Aaron from L.A., he used to chat with Anderson Cooper on WNN, and he always said Boston Market smelled like where people go to die. The first time I read this line, I thought he said where white people go to die. And he made a fake ad for him and put it on the air, and he shared the link.
But the link isn't working. I just tried it, Aaron.
Try it again.
The link didn't come up there.
There is a Mexican food restaurant on 7th on the curve, the Melrose curve there, and it's called La... insert Mexican word
it
here.
It starts with a C.
And like, it smells like a fucking nursing home.
I don't know.
Go there. It smells like a nursing home. And I think that the people who opened Boston Market
is it on the left side as you're going
it's
north?
It's disgusting. Smells like a nursing home.
They have the best quesadillas, though.
No, they do not.
Do they?
Yeah. It's right by the bunkhouse, right?
Yeah, you see it while you're watching from
the house. La Canasta.
Yeah.
It's not La Canasta. It's La Casta something. But they don't really have a dining room. They have like a little atrium that you can just get your food through a window that they just shove
it up. And I walked in and someone was maybe mopping at the time and it smelled like Band-Aids. And I had to go.
No, wait. Not for local people, Band-Aids is either a strip club or the actual Band-Aid.
Band-Aids
like on an arm at a nursing home.
Band-Aids stuck on
Kelly
me.
And I ordered a bag of food. We got home. We were just like, I can't fucking eat this. We ordered like a bag of Mexican
bag of food.
If you go where they're not mopping, the quesadillas $49.95.
Oh, I just don't know.
But I can't remember what it's called.
Bag of food. Bag of Band-Aids.
Serves too.
It's called La Curad. So the name of the band.
Aside from drinking it, La
Curad. That's about what it smells like. Well played, sir.
The tuna fish at the hospital cafeteria legitimately tastes like Band-Aids.
Oh, and I love Maybe tuna fish. Is. That's too bad.
Yeah, I do too, but I just don't see you
popping into the hospital to eat tuna, though. Like, oh, where are you going to lunch? Oh, let's go to the hospital. God, that sounds good. Yeah. Not.
I'm going to do that
when you're eating. When you're eating the pie, all I ever think of is Mrs. Mooney has a pie. Shop, you know what I mean?
Like, hey, you guys want to go have lunch at the hospital?
Yeah. And those
No, I'd rather go to La Canasta.
A lot of those things are good, but not the tuna. Anyways, Peggy, what did you do? We're not getting through anything here.
We'll get there. Yes, well, I emptied the cork and cleaver package here, so we have in fact, Richard was even commenting earlier. He said in the video shot, he said, it looks odd to see it empty. I'm like, well, stand by. We'll get her filled back
it
up.
It looks like a vase again.
We did, as we were talking, you weren't here, but, you know, Fez moved.
I went in last night to get food to go, as a matter of fact.
No, so they moved. I did the setup over since we were here last Tuesday and that.
It looks great.
It's the teardown of the old one. It's the building of the new one, you know, just for me, the network and all. Got all that up. They're up and running, doing fabulous. So that was a
love the new
big,
bar.
Big success for them. Yeah, it's a really great space. It's a great space. Plenty of parking.
Portland's was always it's a beautiful space.
And they redid it even more than what there was. So I mean, now there's a full patio on both sides.
That's so exciting.
There's so many good things about it. And I like the fact that their patio is in. So when it's 112 degrees here. After 2 in the afternoon, it's in the shade.
On the right side of the street.
So that'll be nice. That will really, because they've spent so many years on the, they were on the east side of Central, and they got all the afternoon sun, which was brutal.
Well, and so I don't love a patio when you're on the patio, but you still feel like you're not on a patio because you have to have it enclosed by shades you know, all that stuff. It's nice to like be on a patio, and it's in a cool part of town, and it's you know, the Roosevelt area, and it's just like exciting.
Well, aside from the sun, I was told that part of the reason that they had to do all that at the central location, at the other location, homeless.
Really?
Oh. Well, because that was the first thought that came to my mind when, because I was thinking of the old Fez patio and you wishing it to be open. I'm like, well, sure. So you could just hand out cigarettes to the homeless kids as they walk by.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't sell Lucy's. Just don't forget that. You can't sell them.
You do not want to die over Lucy.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
So did that. And then obviously rang in the new year. I started with later in the day, Jason Carlton and I linked up at the Stacy's having our end of the year conference. And I think
which happens bi-weekly.
I think he got the end of the year conference is bigger than the bi-weekly conference.
Oh, okay. much bigger.
We had to do a recap of the previous 12 months, and then what are we looking for the next 12?
Notes from the secretary.
And I do believe
the treasurer had to approve
the meetings for the year. Right. Right.
I think he had a lot more. He had a lot more going at that meeting than I did.
Maybe because
he had to go home and take a nap.
Kind of.
And then we all rejoined later on at the Chucks. And Mother, you'll be glad to know the new suit it worked out well. It all fits perfectly. So I was able to host the New Year's Eve in a brand new suit, which was one of my Christmas gifts from Mom.
Nice.
It was a nice new tailored suit. So
that's a
nice,
really
nice style. Because
remember, I wear a black jacket every fucking function I do. So now it'll be a new, better fitting jacket.
Okay.
But I'm keeping the other one as a backup because you never know.
That's such a nice gift.
No, it's a perfect gift.
Really,
well, that's
really
one of the
nice
things
gift
that Mom and I have always done. And I mean, I tell the story from years ago, and though my affinity for vacuums is legendary,
you can't have another one.
It's one of the things that Mom and I have always done for many, many years. There's no foo-foo gifts. We always give each other a practical gift. And even when I was, I don't know, 15 years old, 16, I saved up money and because Mom had a really shitty old vacuum that weighed 1 billion pounds. So I got her a brand new vacuum, and it was the best gift because it made her life better. Yeah, it made everything better. So ever since then, Mom and I have always done that. It's always been something that is useful to us as opposed to
something you need.
Some little knick-knack that you just sit on a shelf because nobody needs that shit.
Right.
So exactly. So I got her...
Starbucks gift cards are very practical for me, in case you're all thinking.
I reloaded my Starbucks thing after Christmas. Like, my mom got me a little card. My dad, went out and got a card. Got Kelly a card. She doesn't drink Starbucks. Give it to me. Kelly got me a card.
It works out.
I felt I had, over $100 in, Starbucks.
And now it's all in your phone.
$10 increments.
And they're totally all loads on your phone.
And you don't have to carry it around. You just shake your phone at those people. Shake a copy back at you.
But I will tell you, Clayton, I feel like it was a grow-up moment when I started wanting and needing things for Christmas, because if I want something, I'm going to go out and buy myself.
We all just get it ourselves.
And so when I started saying to Kelly, I think it was last Christmas, I got a vacuum. I needed a hand vac, and I wanted the Dyson fancy hand vac, and so that was my Christmas gift, was a vacuum, and I was pumped that I got a new vacuum cleaner.
Excited about so many things today.
Yeah, I am, kind of. It's a new year. Well, it's a new me.
The raising of a Boston market.
She got so mom.
My vacuum.
Mom got me that. Mom got me that, and I knew what she needed, and I did my research and bought her because I've had my Fellows paper shredder for 18 plus years that I rehabbed. So I bought her a brand new shredder because she wanted one. The old one she had just did the strips.
Mm.
And that we learned from the movie Argo, it's too easy to hire children to put all that shit back together.
Or the homeless guy looking for Lucy. Right. Down at the old
hey, I'll put together a couple of your shreddies for
so
for
got her a new paper shredder that does all the cross cutting, all that shit. So she's wonderful. By the way, Mom, you'll be surprised to know that your old shredder, I took apart, lubricate it, and it works perfectly. So I'm going to re-gift that to somebody else who needs a lesser secure shredder.
I'll take a look at it when I'm leaving. I feel my shredder is inadequate. I feel those children could take my bang statements and put together into the pictures of the hostages.
Yeah, that too.
There's the real challenge.
That's it.
You take my bank statements and you put together a picture of Chloe Sevigny. You know what I mean? It's not Chloe Sevigny in that movie, but I can't think of her name, so close enough.
It works anyway. Close
just enough. Laugh like that's that actress's name. Thank you.
Oh, that's good, Marty.
Wow.
And the Emmy goes to Marty Ryan.
They got to pay you guys to make sex noises for me. Yeah.
That is effective.
I'm going to cancel that
check.
What
you're looking for.
I don't know what sex noises you make, so we'll just going to leave it at
that. Is that all of this?
Huh.
You didn't put that where?
Lose the tube. God damn.
Hashtag.
Hashtag.
For my deaf friends.
We used to just call it a pound sign.
Yeah. That means a whole other thing.
All right, we've just about burned up this first hour, but
look at that. I got the gag ball in. I can't take that chihuahua squeal anymore. I'm going to put this red ball in your mouth. Enjoy it.
Oh my God. Well, we've got so many other things to accomplish on this show, so let's get after it. We about burned up the first hour, but we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
This is the Hugh Talk America Radio Network.
Okay, here we go. Looking at some headlines, both near and far, on this Tuesday night. We're going to do the drinking word after we do the crossover, Al. I'll produce the show. You get the drinks. God damn it. Stepping stones to the kitchen sink.
Rah-rah yuck scout cookies.
An Uber oopsie.
2014, 10 biggest AZ D-bags.
And United we sue.
2014.
Couple trapped in an unlocked closet.
Was the right wing right?
And a man attempts a burglary while carrying an infant in a car seat. These and other stimulating stories coming up right now. Well, this first story is currently in the news, and I brought it up because I know that we have all had many discussions in regards to Al's affinity towards PETA. And I use affinity.
His great affection.
Great affection. Yes. Loves them dearly. And I bring this story I brought up. At first, I thought it was going to be a throwaway story, but then I realized that I see that there the two different sides of the story, and I think that the person who I thought was going to be the joke of the story has a valid point. And I also have two audio clips to go along with this. But our dear friend Sarah Palin said on NBC's Today Show this morning that PETA applied what she calls hypocritical double standards in criticizing her for her Facebook post featuring a photo of her young son standing on the family dog. Palin received criticism from PETA, which called her, quote, bizarrely callous woman after she posted a picture on Facebook on New Year's Day of their son Trigg, who is six, literally standing on the service dog's back while trying to reach the kitchen sink. And I have a picture of it right here if you have not. Whoops, I gotta take that out. Stand by, do this. Boom. If you have not seen the picture, there is Trigg standing on the back of the dog.
No, you said service dog.
Is service dog. This is Trigg's dog.
His service dog.
His service dog. Okay.
Got it.
So then Palin noted that Ellen DeGeneres, who was selected as PETA's Woman of the Year back in 2009, also posted a picture of a kid on a dog, but was also made their Woman of the Year. She posted this similar imaging of the dog, yada, yada, yada. There was no outcry. She goes, I thought absolutely hypocritical double standard as usual applied to, then she threw in this constitutional conservative comment. I'm going to play you this audio clip. I didn't catch it the first time I listened to it, but I thought it was interesting when you listen to what she says. There's two clips here. How she still plays the victim. I just thought it was interesting. So let's listen to this first clip. It's about a minute long. It's Sarah Palin this morning on the Today program.
And you really call out PETA for hypocrisy, saying that it posted a picture that Ellen DeGeneres tweeted of a little girl standing on a dog. And she was, of course, their Woman of the Year in 2009.
Right. And Bristol had pointed that out to me because she's met Ellen and she really likes Ellen. But she said, Mom, look at this image. It's the exact same image, a kid using the canine as a step stool. And the outcry there with Ellen's posting was oohs and ahs and sweet. And then she became Woman of the Year for PETA. And then, of course, Man of the Year, I think it was in just last year, 2014, was Mayor de Blasio, and he had just, doggone it, he killed a groundhog when he dropped it last year on Groundhog Day. So anyway, I thought, yeah, that absolutely hypocritical, double standards, as usual, applied to, I don't know, perhaps a constitutional conservative.
So I just thought, really, get off the cross. No,
she's looking for cunt.
Well, yeah.
Hearing her voice just.
I know that. But in fairness, I agree that was hypocritical. You can't give praise to somebody like Ellen DeGeneres. And because she serves the exact same fucking picture.
But her praise wasn't for that picture. And they probably did say something shitty about that picture at the time.
Oh, I don't know if they did or not.
Right.
But
I agree with you, Clayton. I dislike Sarah Palin with every fiber of my being.
And I agree with that,
but
too.
She's not wrong here. And I have had dogs that are bigger than me my whole entire life. And I've stood on them and I've climbed on, when I was a little kid, stood on them and climbed on them and threw them and pushed them and eaten their, bit their ears and like wrestled with them, you know. And like, it's just like what kids do with a dog. That
pretty
dog was clearly
dogs, yeah.
not distressed. No. And PETA's acting like dicks because Sarah Palin's a dick. And don't call yourself, first of all, a constitutional conservative. I fucking hate you. But still, she's not wrong. They are picking on her because she's a very conservative. Right. They're very liberal.
That shoots animals from helicopters.
Yeah.
You have a really shitty reputation with a shitty... It's two shitty groups getting together and having a shit festival.
They are. So, you're right.
And it's one of those stories where I hate you, I hate them.
Yeah.
And now, like, somebody left Fox News on in our break room TV yesterday, and on the Kelly file or the Megan file or whatever that cunt's name is on Fox News, who I used to like, but now she's got extensions and she's just a huge cunt. So her and this other person are like having a discussion like it's news. It's a picture. PETA makes shitty comments about people all the time. Sarah Palin does shitty stuff all the time. Who gives a shit?
Now, adding to what do you got, Kat?
I was just noting for later, hashtag shit festival.
Shit festival. It's good to know. Now, the other comment that she makes that I thought was interesting. So she's using this opportunity. Not only is she noting the hypocrisy, which, again, I get to a point, and you're right, they may have said the same thing about you shouldn't ever step on an animal, but it was a cute picture of a girl, you know, yada, yada. Anyway, here's where I get kind of annoyed with her when they talk about, the first line in the tweet that she sends out is, calm down, PETA. Trigg didn't eat the dog. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Number two,
didn't eat the dog like Obama did.
Right, but so then she uses the entire thing to call out and get a dig in at Obama, which was completely unnecessary in this whole thing. So listen to this clip too from today's Today program on NBC.
Well, you know, you fire off some shots, you land some punches in this posting for the hypocrisy that you just mentioned. You also talk about President Obama saying that he tried dog meat when he was under 10 years old in Indonesia. Have to ask you about that one, though. Is that kind of trading cheap shot for cheap shot?
Oh, heck no. That was the best line in the post that I wrote. It was the kickoff line. It was, hey, PETA, chill. You know, at least Trigg didn't eat the dog. And it also made a point that, you know, President Obama, to many of the far left radicals who are part of PETA, you know, they look at him as, I don't know, their messiah. And I think he, as a child, probably the same age as Trigg, did much worse than just use the dog as a stepping stool.
So she's basically saying that, oh yeah, I'm sure Obama, when he was a kid, did much more malicious things. Like, just make... Try dog meat Indonesia.
You're in Indonesia, and if you've ever watched one of those shows where they travel to third world countries, the rule in most of those impoverished, starving countries is...
If it moves, eat it.
Protein is protein.
Meat is meat.
Yeah. And they eat bugs. They eat anything. Mm-hmm. You know, having this luxury of dogs as animals, as pets, and as work horses, or I can't think of what that word is, a beast of burden.
Mm-hmm. I want to be a beast of burden.
Really?
I know.
Bette Midler, Rolling Stones both have great versions of that same song. So you go there, and yes, you're under 10. It's the food being served.
Right.
Little Barry Obama didn't walk up and say, hey, let's fire up the collie. Yeah. And then he didn't come back from Indonesia like I did from Puerto Rico. Be like, can I get my fungo somewhere here? Like,
my 9-year-old's going to eat whatever the fuck I put in front of him.
Right. Like, it's one of those things where, like, it was an experience he had and he wrote about in his book, being in a country where that is the custom. Mm-hmm. In Europe, in some places, it's horse meat. You know what I mean? Like, that's again, she's just a cunt.
I agree.
The thing that I heard today, and it rang in my ear. That's the best line in what I wrote.
That was my first point. That's what I sat forward.
You don't congratulate yourself on your own line. Somebody write your Twitter feeds. Like, that's what we just pulled back the curtain on Oz. Yeah. Either you're jerking yourself up on the Today Show or someone else writes
which
this.
Either of those things is
and then
very
the Megan the
possible.
Cunt file, whatever that show was on Fox, that was their second point, was they had a whole segment on Obama eating dog, and they made it, but of course they didn't put it in context. And even I'm giving it too much context.
It's
they
like he just went to Hawaii like, and just had a smorgasbord.
Yeah, they made it sound
that
on
he
the
like saw one running not even Hawaii, and saw that one. That like no. Bo, they no. fucking cut Bo up at the White House and like grilled it, him on
they
a spit.
They did imply that he was eating dog on his vacation last week,
which is
like,
excellent.
They were playing so that's fast right, and loose with the past tense that you were like, no, this was when he was a child in another country in another custom,
right?
Just doing the local right. thing. Do you know, he commented on and it. And it was one of those things with those new extensions that if I could reach to the TV and strangle that bitch.
Yeah.
It and is, and they're her I'm just gonna give a counterpoint.
I just it's just yeah. Thank you, Richard. Damn cock juggling thunder cunt. Yeah. Really it is the hammer on the head there.
I know where I want to lose the tube.
What I feel like so much so is that she God damn,
think
you
about it when we
whisper
go to the break.
Drinks.
You still got like 30
damn
seconds.
Damn it, Ruthie.
Yeah. Well,
damn it, Ruthie. Blame his mother.
My point is, why do people even listen to her? Why do they even have her on? Like, yeah. Don't even have her on. Don't even listen to her because
oh, gosh,
she's saying,
it,
oh,
she's
all those crazy liberals. And yeah, there are. The PETA people, a lot of those people, crazy, crazy wackadoos. And you are the exact same thing on the right. So, like, stop interviewing these people and we'll just get back to real life.
So
like,
the follow-up
stop
question
it.
When they went to Hannity? Had him on from Obama eats dogs to. So, what are your thoughts on the new Speaker of the House? Why do you care? She right. only had a job in government for 2 years and she quit.
And most people the had end, to tell her.
End of hour one, hour two is coming. Drinking words. Stay with us. We'll be
You've
right
been
back.
Listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening again, everybody. It is the beginning of hour two in Studio C. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Katie June, Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and Al is dispersing Ruthie's lovely whiskey sours. It's a lovely blender full of love and tenderness. We are running just a trifle bit late, so I'm going to get started on this. It's our drinking disclaimer, and it goes something like this, boys and girls.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, it's going to be lose the tube.
Felt that
I can't let it. I don't know what it is about a commercial for wiping your own ass that just like the lady that goes around going, "How do you
it's
wipe
weird.
Your ass?"
Yeah.
Well, some then it's toilet paper, and then the soft wipes never flush them. You know what I mean? Like, why do I like go down the aisle? Just go down the aisle, and whatever's not $19 a roll is what I'm buying.
Yep.
Right.
But I did learn about the Safeway Select home brand of toilet paper.
Oh no!
Don't do it.
Middle ground. when it comes to toilet paper,
yeah.
And in general things that touch that
somewhere
area
between
of your body.
Queen Elizabeth, yeah. And you know
not
the good
the
people
cheapest,
of Indonesia,
not the most expensive.
They're trying to shit out Kali.
Middle.
Rin Tin Tin. Is that you?
Yeah, exactly. Lost the tube.
We are in the. So the drinking word is lose the tube.
Hashtag.
Beginning of hour two, we're in the middle of our headline section, and I will divert it to Marnie Ryer.
Well, rah rah. Girl Scout cookies?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
What
bullshit.
About, what
Yuck.
About?
They're coming out with some new ones.
Oh no.
Coming out with some new Girl Scout cookies.
I buy the shit out of some Girl Scout cookies every year.
And I'm not going to.
I load those bitches up.
Breaking news. You can order online now. You don't have to be a pedophile anymore and hunt down a
Girl Scout. See the little girls and be like,
"Hello, little girl.
Get some candy, get some cookies."
I don't know, Mom. Some guy in a Chevy van drove up and bought $100,000.
Really dark windows.
He offered to take me to Washington without buying any cookies. It was weird.
Well,
go.
The reign of baking-related terror has continued with gluten-free cookies.
Motherfucker.
Katie will be happy.
And a third new cookie that incorporates the carcasses of shriveled grapes. What the hell is that?
I forget you don't like raisins.
Legit.
Well, I don't mind them, but don't put them in my Girl Scout
cookies. Are they
finally
making oatmeal raisin ones?
Yeah.
I love
oatmeal raisin cookies.
The two my annual order just went up by $40.
The two new gluten-free offerings include Toffee-tastic.
Sounds
buttery
good,
cookies
actually.
With toffee bits.
I want it.
And trios that are made with real peanut butter, chocolate chips, and whole
I'm going to bring a box in here, and I bet you're going to eat it.
Oh, by the way, I probably would. It's just that whole gluten-free thing. It's fucking irritating.
Fuck
me.
It. We don't care anymore.
The third new cookie.
I'm going to need to see your celiac.
Raw raisins. Right, exactly.
I'm going to see your
show me
your
celiac card and I'm fine.
Is it legit called rah-rah raisins? R-A-R-A?
R-A-H-R-A-H raisins. Rah-rah raisins is an oatmeal raisin cookie with whole grain oats,
yes.
Plump, juicy raisins,
mm-hmm.
and Greek yogurt-flavored chunks.
I'm out.
Thank you. That's why I had a problem.
Does it stink like Greek yogurt stinks?
Why someone would think the words raisin, Greek yogurt, and chunks would be appealing on their own is beyond us.
Those are all lovely adjectives.
Combining those words as a cookie is to gaze into the dark hive mind of the Girl Scouts.
I'm still going to order four boxes.
Hashtag hive mind.
They will debut during National Girl Scout Cookie Week, which takes place February 27th.
Oh, we are fucking celebrating. And that better not be hashtag order the cookies week. That better be get those cookies in my mouth week. Let me be clear.
In my belly.
Yeah. Little green people.
Cookies. Can that be next week's drinking order?
Yeah. What's that? Write it down.
Get those cookies in my mouth.
Yeah.
Though these quote-unquote cookies come from a dark, gluten-free place, their revenues will go toward local councils, troops, and communities. But the money you spend on classic flavors, like Thin Mints and peanut butter patties, which are also called tag-longs,
Delicious motherfuckers.
Yeah. We'll also go to these good causes. So fight the good fight. Big Raisin can't win every battle.
Okay. Just as long as they keep. They change the name every once in a while. They used to be called just shortbreads.
Oh, I love those.
Now they're called trefoils.
Well, they were always called that. And then they changed them somewhere weirdly, like at the millennium. Like Y2K, all of a sudden they were like, oh, we have to change all our fucking names. And then they went back to all the old names.
No, they were called shortbreads when I was a little kid.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. When the little green people were coming around losing their tubes, yeah.
Hey, lose your tube with me.
When I was a little green person, they were the trefoils.
Can we go around and share our favorites?
Okay.
Totally.
What's your favorite?
Oh, shortbreads.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Shortbread tagalongs. Chili Cook-Off 2005.
Jesus.
With a peanut butter kicker. Because then it's like, do you want the traditional peanut butter or do you want the chocolate-covered peanut butter?
Yeah, right.
How do you want your crack?
Right, yeah.
The sampler platter.
And you know what?
Right. That's your favorite.
They really do need a Neapolitan version.
A couple of every.
I have never, ever in my house had a open, unfinished sleeve of Thin Mints.
Do you put them in the freezer?
No, I eat them in one sitting.
They've never made it.
Exactly.
Like one sitting. Like, open, end.
Gone.
Open, end. And sometimes a whole box and a big glass of milk, this big, and a box of Thin Mints.
Awesome.
I'm not kidding. I spend $100 a year on Girl Scout cookies because I have to stock the fuck up. And I'm out by March.
Oh, yeah. They're so good.
And I'm buying new pants by April.
I squirrel my nuts. Yeah. I'm not even lying to you.
No.
I hide them all over the house and then drink a little so I forget. And then it's always
I tried that 2 years ago, and then my mother-in-law came to visit and opened all my cookies.
Not okay.
She opened all the cookies that I had hiding.
That's fucked up.
That's horrible. That's
Well, so I had to eat them immediately.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, immediately. There's a best when used by date stamped on my ass, not the cookies.
That's right.
Okay. Best by now.
My favorites are the Samoas.
Oh, those are good too. Like
with the caramel and the coconut.
Yeah.
I want to I devour a box.
You got to be careful with those, though. You have to devour a box because then they get like stale and hard and crunchy and they pull your crown.
We put everything in the freezer.
How are
we
sell
eat the whole
sell
fucking
it.
Box.
Eat the whole, eat, there you go. Hashtag eat the box.
Yeah. Clayton, favorite?
That's what she
said. She says to three lesbians, eat the box, bitch.
Hashtag eat the box.
Okay.
I am clearly
use all your fingers.
No, I've moved on from sex to cookies because I was like, yeah. That should be their new slogan. That should
eat the box.
It should definitely not
be an all women organization.
Little Girl Scout cookies running here.
I am pretty sure.
Isn't it fun how we were all three on board with just cookies? Yeah.
The first time,
I do eat the box.
I'm legitimately Clayton McKee.
Going back to pedophiles and Chevy vans, the first billboard I see,
hello, it's
Girl Scout cookie season. Eat the box.
I feel like I want to put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Write that down.
The show with Clayton McKee.
We know.
Do we have a logo?
We need that.
We
it's
got
a box.
I didn't use the one that I did.
It's a box.
Yeah, just use that.
We know a t-shirt maker in Tempe.
Yeah. Eat the box.
Brandex.
So what's your favorite flavor?
I would go along with you. I love the Samoas, but again, I'm with Kat. Thin mints are not, they can't be around me because they'll be in me.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
Laura says, ninja that shit. Put it in ice cream.
It is good.
Now, let me just recommend to you something that Ruthie may or may not have done in her lifetime.
Thank you, Ruthie, for everything you do.
You get a little vanilla ice cream, you put some thin mints in there, and just because you might be sober. No, you just sprinkle a little creme de menthe on top. You know
what I mean? Nice.
You ninja it up, and then you liquor
God
it up.
God damn that, Ruthie.
You know what I feel like?
She knew how to get a buzz off some shitty liquors.
I feel like if I took out the cream of menthe and I put in like some espresso vodka and blended that would be a thing.
We're gonna do that. When Girl Scout cookies
about
are
a
out
dirty for real. Scout
well, I think we have our plan for Girl Scout Cookie Week.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Wearing new t-shirts.
Does this mean I need to buy a food processor now?
Buy the box.
What the fuck? You have a blender?
I just want to make sure I'm prepared for any circumstance.
I feel like I can bring
mom's food processor. I just bought
her 13
cup ones.
Oh, Jesus.
And, I don't know, 6 shots of vodka and we're done.
Oh my God, you guys, I made homemade ice cream.
We're going
to
sit
week?
There like nerds. We're going to sit there like they do on the Big Bang Theory when the tickets for Comic-Con come on sale. Right. Girl Scout cookies! Girl Scout cookies! Refresh!
I happen to have connections at an elementary school.
Our old studio.
Yeah.
Across
for those former listeners, remember
from the distributors, yeah.
From the good warehouse. And all you had to do was be nice to the people in the little we sell little girl shop in the front.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's what they called it.
No, same song.
Hashtag not the box.
I may be paraphrasing.
Think outside the box.
please think outside that box. they would send you back to Mecca. You were back there in Oz. And they would just sell you all the cookies you wanted. And they were like, yep, we got them.
Yeah,
it was like knowing where the crack dealer lives.
Yep.
And it was like kind of like when you used to buy pot in the 80s. You're like, how long do we have to pretend to have conversation till I give you 50 bucks and you hand me the bag of pot? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't want to be friends.
How long do I have to act interested in that cactus you're trying to keep alive?
That's good.
I'm so excited for February now.
I'm like beyond. I'm thrilled. So I'm pumped.
I've never been more happy about a box in my life. Well, speaking
of... She said without irony, yeah.
Horrible segue. A gay couple...
Lose the tube. Gay,
well, they almost did. A gay couple...
Screech rum pie. I need a picture.
Wait, what?
Somebody put a link to what a chocolate screech rum pie is.
Colonel, shut up.
Yeah.
Get on it, Richard. A gay couple claimed they were kicked out of a taxi operated by Uber because they were kissing and cuddling in the back seat. Jordan Sloan said the driver told them he usually took gay couples, but, quote, they don't usually do that sort of thing in the cab after he ordered them out of the taxi in London. Mr. Sloan and his partner, Corey Watts, 23 years old, had just been in the car a few minutes. By the way, here's a picture of the cute couple. Aren't they adorable? What's your water bottle, Missy? Aren't they cute? They got a cute couple there.
I'd watch them make up anytime they wanted.
They'd been in the car just minutes when the driver pulled over.
Do you have
a
live feed?
In Covent Garden and told them to get out. That was about 8 p.m. on New Year's Day. He said, Mr. Sloan said, I felt shocked. You don't expect that sort of thing. Homophobic reaction in London. The couple who had been on their way to a friend's house were forced to get another taxi. Uber confirmed the driver has been suspended since the incident and they were investigating it. Mr. Sloan added that we were kissing and cuddling next to each other when a minute or two after picking us up, he pulled over and literally just said, get out of the car. He said that he was shocked by the reaction and asked the driver if it was because they were gay. He allegedly told them he picked up gay couples all the time, but they don't normally act that way.
Okay, or like affectionate?
Mr. Sloan, who comes from Toronto, said he was shocked to witness that kind of behavior in London and said his partner became angry, accusing the driver of disgusting homophobia. The couple were initially charged for the journey, but were later refunded by the company. Uber runs a taxi service in cities across the world for those of you who live under a rock and allows people to use the app to get a quote for various rides in order and order a car through their smartphones. In a statement, Uber said Uber does not tolerate any form of discrimination either by our partner drivers or towards our partner drivers. We opened an investigation from the moment we learned of this unacceptable incident and have been in contact with the rider to extend our sincere apologies and get further information. The driver concerned has been suspended from the Uber platform. So I thought it was interesting. Now, one of the fights or one of the things that they said about this, if it was a heterosexual couple, would you have kicked him out? And I say he would not have.
No.
Because I think this guy obviously has an issue.
Then you do the discreet, like, turn the rear view mirror slightly so you're not looking at the couple.
Right.
Because then you're not going to boot him out.
No. So one of the things that when you read all the tweets, you know, after about the fifth one down, it's all Obama's fault anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you read through it, one of the guys said, driver's car, driver's rules. And I say, nay, nay. Because you work for Uber.
Nay, you don't work for Uber.
But you're
an independent contractor, right, who uses... No. Hang on. You're an independent contractor who uses Uber services to obtain customers.
So are you not then bound by any anti-discrimination rules at all in regards to that?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Because you have the right to refuse service.
Interesting.
Yep. Because
no shoes, no service.
And not to defend someone for being despicable, but you are, as an Uber driver...
But they have the...
Which, by the way, for those of you wondering where she's getting this information, Kat does part-time drive for Uber.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just don't want people to think you're just pulling this out of your ass.
No, I'm just pulling this out of my ass. Where do you think I get all my information?
Out of the tube.
I'm on the show with Clayton.
Softball, McKee. Yeah. Right. Throw the softball.
I feel
we're
like
gonna
you
hit
are
it.
A great driver. I want to get in the van. #get in the van.
Wow. I feel like we know people that have done
not
that.
In fact, a good hashtag.
I pulled up in front of the bunkhouse one day and picked up Gary Guerin and Cosette Pfeiffer and Braun. They were like, "Shut the fuck up! You're our Uber." Most fun Uber ride ever.
Oh,
anyway,
that's so fun.
It was very fun and random.
I'm just really surprised about that. I would think that the company would state, by the way, if you're going to use our service, you then have to abide by.
Because, well, and I think because I'm now just guessing.
Now it's out of the ass.
Now completely out of my ass.
Shoving the tube back in.
Gotta get more.
No, Uber's terms of service are fairly clear about putting up that wall between you working for Uber and you being someone who uses the Uber service.
So Uber is just an internet app. You are not Uber.
They're an app that I use and have subscribed to in order to obtain rides and earn money.
That's
and
like saying you can't turn somebody away at the door because you met them on Grindr. You're just using Grindr as your medium. You can't say, like, oh, no fatties, and then be offended.
Because a fat guy shows up. Because I show up. Be mad
at Grindr.
Yeah. Right.
You can't be, like, non-discrimination. So, yeah, you as an Uber driver, you do not... you know, in some capacity, you represent Uber because you're using the service, but you do not work for Uber.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not employed by Uber. I use Uber, and that I'm an independent contractor by all the terms of service that I actually read and signed up for. Yeah.
So my thing would be in the back of the cab, like, as soon as something starts and people are tipsy, even two hotties like that, but straight or gay, how far is this going to go?
Right.
Because you're in the cab, you're a little loosey-goosey. You've lost inhibitions. Right, but if you know what I mean? Like, at what point are you like, all right, I've seen Dressed to Kill with Angie Dickinson. I know where these cab rides can go. And I've been on a couple. But,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So there's a point.
I have done some really, really, really stupid shit in cabs. Like, passed out in the back, taken off my clothes, definitely barfed. And I've never been kicked out, ever.
But I'm just saying. But so then,
God. Yeah, but you were taking actual
every
cabs.
Every story you tell has a classy theme to it.
We regain the tube and check the barometer. Like, where are we going in Katy Town?
But you're right.
You were in a cab from a cab company.
Yes, right. Mostly Sunrise. Praise God for those guys.
Because Sunrise.
They have taken care of me.
Oh, they're gone.
A few occasions.
And taking your life in your own hands all at the same time.
They might kill me, they let me barf in their cabs.
Well, fortunately, they're out of business, so that helps a lot.
The cabs of old, those were Sunrise's cars, and those were guys that were just hired to drive that car.
Yeah.
Right. And now, you know, with the ride share and the Uber and everything, like, it's my car. I don't want you to barf in my car. If I think you're going to barf, I'm going to throw you the fuck you. Out.
Get yeah. out. Yeah.
Get out of my
so
car.
So where do the limits go then? For example, let's say that you pull up to somebody mm-hmm. requests a cab and it's three people. And you're sure. and you've got a van, so you're more than accommodating
legit,
for three people.
I'm in.
But if you pull up and you're like, "Oh fuck no, I'm not taking these four people anywhere."
Okay.
Is that do you have the right of refusal?
Sure do. Mm-hmm. Sure
really?
Do. Now, on the flip side of that, like happened in the story, Uber also has the right to terminate their agreement with me. They can say, no, we don't feel like you're representing us the way we want to, or we don't feel like, you know, the for whatever fucking reason, like, we don't feel like you're a good fit for us anymore. Okay. So
start your own app and right. hopefully somebody has heard of it.
So you've decided to not take this gay couple and make a big thing, and now it's on the news, and so we're going to discontinue you. Good luck with Lyft. See you right. later. Like, yeah. they absolutely have that option. So there's that double yeah. side of the
I
coin.
I was at Coit Tower in San Francisco, and it was raining outside. And, like, we took a cab up, because it's easy to get a cab up to the top of Coit Tower.
Sure.
Down in the streets
I feel
of San
there's
Francisco.
There's a story coming, but I don't know why.
No. Has to do with I wish there was, but this is just tourism. Nope.
Hashtag top of the coitus.
Yeah. Right. Hashtag don't lose that tube.
Yeah.
So
hashtag get out of the cab.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm up at the top. It's raining. It's horrible. I've got Palmer in a stroller. It's bad. Everything's annoying. And I Uber. And this guy says, yes, he's coming. And I watch him on the little app. He's driving up. And then he just decides he doesn't want to do it anymore. Sure. And just cancels it.
Yep.
And I was so fucking pissed.
Sure.
But it is his right as uh-huh. his own driver. Now, I reported. I mean, I complained against
sure.
him. Because that's fucking bullshit. I was in the rain.
Mm.
And the next guy that came was awesome and really cute and fun. But regardless. Right. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they do when you complain against
a know,
driver.
It kind of depends on the situation. I've certainly canceled on people and been like, yeah, maybe I don't want to go that direction. Yeah, never mind.
Really?
I'm gonna go home.
Because you can just do that?
I can. Yeah. Yeah, and it just sends you a message. You know, I've driven plenty, and you know, I kind of play the let me see if I can get close to home game. If it
right,
gets late, I'm like,
get, yeah,
right, because you have a certain amount of downtime, and so I'm like, okay, I'm kind of close to home, so I'm gonna head for home, and if I get home, I'm staying home. You know, and I'll
right.
play and I'll play that game, and I'll be like a block away from home, and it'll hit, and I'll be like, well, no,
yeah, I'm not
never
gonna
mind.
Do this.
Yeah,
interesting. That went a different direction, but I'd still watch those two have sex.
No, I agree. I just am glad to get more
clarification.
I'd watch
one of them lose the tube and the other one anytime they wanted to hashtag.
Hashtag! And
bury
I mean,
the tube.
I in no way, shape, or form represent
now, bury
Uber
the tube is dirty.
Or Lyft or any of the rideshare companies. I just represent my experience of it.
Right,
know.
But I didn't... But that's no. good because...
Hashtag legal disclaimer.
Be clear. Hashtag let me be
please
clear.
Please don't sue me.
No, but I'm glad to know that because good I think luck. A lot of people, and myself included, and I use the service constantly and I love it.
Sure,
I love it.
I would have assumed that there was some sort of a binding contract between, but it's not. You simply are using, like you used Grindr mm-hmm. as an example. You're using an app to get what you want, a ride from
right.
somewhere, but there's no there's no
said.
Direct
yeah.
connection between
right.
that employee. Though they are screened, your car is screened.
Absolutely, yeah.
And is there a background check? Is there anything?
There's a criminal background check. There's a driving record check.
Okay,
there's
so there's some vetting
well,
of, there's of these people.
For all those things,
I know.
Yeah, no
know.
Shit. Otherwise, you'd be
apparently
Stevie
some of
Wonder
them are new
driving.
Developments.
Yeah, so
I was actually driving an Uber. I was an Uber driver before they instituted the vehicle inspections.
Oh,
I felt really
wow.
good about that when I got the email that was like, "Hey, a month from now we're going to start inspecting vehicles." I'm like, "Oh my god,
in
what's
what
been
capacity?
Happening now?
Like,
yeah.
how are
what
they?
Shit
is it
has
like
been
surprise
rolling around?
Expections about like Uber
no,
people show up and like call you and see,
no,
like,
no, no, no. It's a required when you drive the Uber X
you
with your own vehicle.
The refrigerator for the love of Christ.
It's a required safety inspection. So you take it to an approved shop. You pay your $20, they go through their little checklist, and then you have to send the paperwork into Uber. And
what about, like, approved shop for not murdering? Because I heard there was someone that got murdered by their Uber driver.
I feel like...
Oh, my God.
I feel like you can't...
This is a Christmas story?
I feel like that could happen anywhere.
I feel like you can't 100% screen for that, because you never know when somebody's going to commit their first murder.
Right.
But
yeah.
your
exactly.
drivers have good been point. Screened for prior criminal activity.
Yeah. Katie, are you really concerned about there being homicidal
like
drivers
might,
everywhere?
I know you haven't committed yeah. a murder yet, but you could go there.
Right. That's not okay. See, I have never
I
committed a murder,
I can't
but
write it
today's
off
a new day.
Yeah.
I could murder right now.
Right. So the
in this Uber ride.
As we learned in the Minority Report, that doesn't really, like, you can't really predict that 100%.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's actually a really good point, Kat. Thanks for pointing that out.
You're welcome.
Oh. That's so funny.
I swear to God, you just went into Hoda mode. I swear you just said, that's a good point, Kath.
Can I get some more wine?
Well, drunk, kind of. Like, actually, can I have clink? Done.
I was like, wow, she forgot her name.
Awesome. Okay. You are.
By the way, up for Girl Scout week, we drink a lot. Bring more of everything.
By the way, if I can ever make it happen, I would like to drink a weekend with Hoda Kotb. I really would like to hang out with Hoda Kotb.
I love Hoda.
I'd like to sit down with her and lose the tube.
I wonder if we can get her. We can get her to come here. She likes to take vacations.
You guys, let's start sending her emails.
What if Hoda funny. Came
seriously
to our show?
Why not?
She would be fired for NBC.
No, no, no.
The first time that she agrees,
I feel like Kathy Lee would be behind her like Rudy goes behind. Huck right
the
now,
first
like,
time that we call somebody a cunt and she agrees, she'd be like, "Well, Jenna Bush Hager is going to be."
We will we will change her name to protect her.
Now I can say this with all honesty. I have been a fan of the Kathy Lee.
Oh, me too.
Since she was on Name That Tune. And before Regis and Kathy Lee got syndicated, it was on either PIX or WOR out of New York, which was the station we got in Niagara Falls. You know, we had a couple Canadian, we had a couple Canadian channels, and we had a couple of New York City channels that we got all as part of basic 70s cable or 80s cable. So I was watching Kathy Lee back when she was, before Jesus, and she was just a sarcastic, funny bitch. And she was, that show used to be really funny because she was sarcastic. She wasn't married. She was Kathy Lee, whatever her real first name is.
Gifford. No, that's Frank.
Sorry.
Kathy Lee.
Crosby. No.
No.
That was the blonde girl that was on Real People.
If only.
So it's just so funny that I could, if we brought Kathy Lee on, I could actually, yeah, that was her. Yeah. Mary Crosby was on there.
Mary Crosby, yeah.
She killed,
Kathy
shot
Mary Crosby was the one that was on,
she was the Wonder
incredible.
Woman. She was the original.
That's incredible. With Glenn Collins, Dick Collins.
Gary Collins. Jesus Christ, we're going to
send. So seriously, if we wanted
Kathy Lee Epstein.
She did not go by that, though.
I think she was by Kathy Lee.
No, she sure did not.
Yeah, it's Kathy Lee Epstein.
But I think she's not by Kathy Lee.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that could be.
I think it was Kathy Lee.
Now, you know, and I...
So we could suck up to them. So if we want to get Kathy Lee and Hoda in here, I mean, we're going to need a lot more wine. But
as I'm sure that I think told we could you get, all I've, before, I can work that I out. Do have a... I mean, like a little bit of relationship with Kathy Lee. You know, I was her waitress.
Oh, God, what story?
On Nantucket Island, I was actually her waitress.
I've heard this story.
I'm sure I've shared that before.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of one of her best friends. Donna Summer was one of her closest friends.
Oh, that is true. Oh,
we can play that angle.
Kathy Lee Gifford, I swear to God, I love her every single day. Every time anyone brings up, like, I think she might be a bitch. I'm like, she's not, actually. And, like, I was her just, like, garbagey waitress. And she was so
garbagey waitress.
Cool to me that I just, like, I love her for life. And also,
I have one question, man.
Yes, you may.
How high were you?
Oh, I mean,
were you as high as Kathy Lee is on national television?
Right, probably not in Nantucket. I was probably hungover.
Yeah, hungover. Okay.
Yeah. Because
you were in Nantucket.
It's breakfast time, so on my way to meet the pot dealer.
It was lunch
to talk about the Kathy.
So I wasn't drunk yet, but I had definitely been drinking that before because it was like a day.
Totally.
So you know,
Whenever you talk about Nantucket, I just feel that could be a part of it.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah. That's all. But you guys, I just love her so much. I want her to come here. Okay, anyway.
I really think we need to work on this.
Oh my God, Kathy Lee and Hoda.
That would put us on the map. We'd be legit then.
Let's start a letter campaign.
We actually could afford a tube.
Yeah.
All right. We'd need another vase.
New story.
Yes.
We're getting a lot of mileage out of
it. We need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
It's what this whole show's built on. A lot of mileage out of nothing.
Out of zero.
Would you tell another story, Marnie Ryan?
I would love to. There were, you know, you get to the end of the year and everybody looks back. We've got the 10 biggest Arizona douchebags.
Okay.
And I enjoyed that because I thought, I wonder who the number one will be.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do tell.
So do you guys remember Rex Chapman? He used to play for the Phoenix Suns.
I don't remember him.
Back in the day.
Doesn't ring a bell to me.
Back in the 90s. He's an ex-NBA player.
Does he own a lot of dealerships?
No, he wanted to own a lot of Apple products, but he stole them all.
Oh, and shit.
So he is number 10. AZ douchebag. He walked in September. He was arrested following an Apple Store shoplifting investigation by the Scottsdale police. He totally was walking in and walking out with like damn near everything. He'd go in and he would
damn get cargo shorts,
a couple of iPads, and then they would
handy,
because
shorts.
He's Rex Chapman. They would think, oh, it's fine. Right. And they'd let him walk out, and he'd set the stuff with whomever. Just a douche nozzle. And should have a lot of money. Does not.
Okay.
Number nine, John Hoopenthal.
Yeah.
Longtime East Valley lawmaker, most recently state superintendent of public instruction. In true cowardly fashion, the elected official, using a handle of Falcon 9.
God, he's horrible.
Took to the comment section of local blogs to write, among other things, how people on welfare were lazy pigs and that Mexican restaurant menus should be written only in English. Most shamefully of all, though, was how Hoopenthal broke down and cried at a news conference after he'd been caught showing the public he's a complete wuss. Jody Arias, number 8.
I just don't read anything.
Please stop. Yeah. Please that's stop.
All the only thing that's in here that jumped out was that we have already spent more than $2.7 million.
Ridiculous.
For her.
And she's still alive.
And the fact that I know her name pisses me off.
It's just really horrible.
It really is. And the fact that it's too much. Number 7 doesn't matter. Anyway, number 6 was the members of the Tau, is it Tau Kappa Epsilon fraternity? The ones who remember last year.
Is that
year,
the black party?
Uh-huh. Oh. Where they had the MLA or MLK black party.
Because that's what they did.
Because that's what they did.
You read the story.
I'm kidding. I understand.
They served cocktails from watermelon cups.
That part's funny.
Number
though.
5.
Seedless watermelon?
I know. Well, how far are we going?
Just don't put it on your face.
They were playing Hangman, right?
Greenacre dog boarding caretakers, which included Jeff Flake's son.
Oh, he was acquitted recently, wasn't he?
Yes.
Those dogs died of natural causes. Animal abuse charges have been dropped.
Wait, they said they died of natural causes? Yep. I missed that.
Yeah. All charges were dropped.
After chewing into an electrical cord,
20 dogs
it's
were
natural.
Found in June and had apparently been suffocated
what a
without
fucker.
Proper ventilation.
Those assholes. Yeah, well,
they probably won't
they
be trusted.
Died in a tin can with no, right. with no air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number
and
4.
And water, wet. From like electrical shock.
Our lovely representative Steve Yarbrough, Arizona SB 1062, which would have been the pro-discrimination bill that was later denounced by the supporters for legalizing discrimination against gays, was how some people saw it. Supporters didn't really have a good answer for that criticism, and that probably made it valid to them. Number 2, number 3 is Joe Arpaio, but
Same
as Jody Arias.
Enough said, yeah.
That Shanisha Taylor, number 2.
Yeah, she's pretty lousy.
The one who raised, quote-unquote, raised $114,000.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And then spent that shit on her baby daddy record label.
Record label, that's right, because, you know, he Mo Def. Most
he is certainly not something. Most deaf.
He's less deaf.
And number 1,
he is, like,
I know y'all
deaf.
Are going to be shocked.
Soup deaf.
But the biggest douchebag in Arizona...
She's leaving today?
Did we just get rid of her?
Just left today.
Come on!
Jan Brewer is a cunt.
But hey, she got rid of... She stood up against 1062.
1062, she did.
And then she shut her mouth because, you know, that was political theater of the shitter. And they pretty much shit on her because she accepted the ACA.
Yep.
Well,
so she has stayed... Yes. She has remained radio silent for this whole year.
She really
has.
But she also...
She won a lot of different years for honorary mention this year.
Fate had given her one very important task, it says, to put state government on a sustainable financial footing.
And
that... After 6 years,
thank you.
She failed.
And not only did she fail, but as we are... She talked consistently about, like, balancing the budget. She actually said... For the last 2 years, I have balanced the budget. Yeah. We are in one of the biggest budget deficits we've ever been in, and she was giving $10,000 per person gifts. Gifts as she left office.
I heard, read that.
Gifts of $10,000. And you get $10,000.
Yeah.
And you get $10,000. And you get $10,000. When we are in the... We're in the red. I mean, we are broke. And now Doug Ducey,
it just gets
so scared.
On his first
and
day.
And that's where you have the number, like, zero would be Ducey.
On his first
in.
Day, you know, and I will only
that's
be
today.
Short. But
today,
right? Yeah. Well, today. So he had his swearing in. Well, the swearing in, I think, was yesterday. The inauguration was all yesterday. But he gave his first,
his speech. I saw it.
Thank you. And here to say, like... We're in a giant budget deficit, but I'm not going to raise any taxes. I'm weird because that just fosters, you know, poor spending habits. I'm going to cut. And where do you think those cuts are going to come
education.
From? They're every
it's
fucking time.
100%
every
education.
Every fucking time. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, and he talked about how
Let's
bad off we were.
Yeah.
How
poorly off we are economically and financially as a state. No. And all I could just think about is all of those gifts, all of Jan Brewer's gifts that she gave.
That she could have gifted to students so we could have smarter people in Arizona.
That she could have gifted to schools. Can you imagine if she said, you know what? The gifts that are traditionally given, because it happens, right? So like, I'm going to forego the gifts that are traditionally given to my people, and instead I'm going to give $10,000 to the Washington School District or $10,000 to the Roosevelt School District or Alhambra. Like, how far
about if she doesn't have the Air Force flyover? Do the flyover when she was nominated.
So many things. So many things.
I mean, it's that kind of stuff.
So
what
many things.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Give it to a homeless shelter. Give it to soup kitchens. Give it to whatever.
Anywhere.
Schools.
But anything. You're never, never going to find a Republican. No tax. Cut taxing.
Because they're constitutional conservatives.
Yeah.
And they're just horrible people.
Completely.
Using dogs as step stools.
Fine, sorry.
Moving on from that,
stepping off my soapbox.
I knew that was going to be a point of contention. This one, and for those of you who travel, which a lot of us do, you'll get a kick out of this. And Al, I think you'll particularly like this story. A young computer whiz from New York City has launched a site to help people buy cheap plane tickets. But an airline company and its travel partner want to shut him down. United Airlines and Orbitz filed a civil lawsuit last month against 22-year-old Akhtar Zaman, who is founded a website called skiplagged.com. That's skiplagged.com. He started it last year. Now, the site helps travelers find cheap flights by using a strategy called hidden city ticketing.
I've heard about this, but I haven't read it.
The way this works is, let's say, for example, and I'm just making up numbers. These are not factual. If you want to go to Dallas-Fort Worth, and the flight from LAX to JFK stops in Dallas-Fort Worth, but it's going to cost you $400 to go to Dallas-Fort Worth, but only $300 to go to JFK, you take the flight, you buy the cheaper one, you just get off at DFW.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, well, the idea, obviously, is that you buy the airline ticket that has a layover and your actual destination. Say, again, like I just said, say you want to go to New York to San Francisco. You actually book a flight from New York to Lake Tahoe. The layover is in San Francisco. You get off the plane there without bothering to take the last leg of the flight. The travel strategy only works if you book a one-way flight with no check bags.
Yeah, because you can't get off the plane and your bags keep traveling, because then it's terrorism.
Yeah. So
then it goes by a new name.
Yeah, allegedly. Changes.
Because your bags automatically go to the destination city.
Yeah,
you're like killing people.
It's not that all the tickets are the cheapest like that, but often they are. In the lawsuit, United and Orbitz called Skiplagged, quote, unfair competition, and alleged that it is promoting strictly prohibited travel. They want to recoup about $75,000 that they said they've lost in revenue from this guy. Now,
$75,000 to an airline?
He didn't come up with this on his own. This has been around for many, many years. He just literally put it together in a website that he did on his own off time, because it's not a full-time thing. He just did it as a hobby. He said he knew the lawsuit was inevitable, but he points out that there's nothing illegal about what he's doing. He also said that he's made no profits via the website, and that he's done this. All he's done is help travelers to get the best prices by exposing an inefficiency in airline pricing that insiders have known about for many, many decades. Here's what's interesting. This is when I pulled the story offline earlier today. More than 1,600 donors have contributed $33,000 on a GoFundMe site by last Wednesday morning for him. Okay, that's $33,000 as of last Wednesday. I just went on the website. They're at $60,000 they've raised for legal funds for this kid, trying to make sure that he gets...
Why do we not have a GoFundMe campaign?
Because we can't figure out how to fly somewhere for cheap.
No, for us.
No, for the show with Clinton McKee.
We should.
Yeah.
Clearly, let's make a video.
Oh my god!
I have two videos.
Yeah.
For
you are really good with graphic design. You popped yourself into that picture like ain't nobody's business.
It's called Photoshop.
It's called Photoshop. That's not.
So yeah. So literally,
it's a foreign language to me. Yeah.
It's gone
great
up
to me.
It's gone up $5 in the 2 minutes I just looked at it. But this kid is. They literally have it. The whole website. You pick your destinations and it tells you exactly what flight to get on. Now, one of the things that I thought was interesting in regards to this, and this may or may not have some validity. I'm not in the airline industry. I don't fucking know. But what United is saying is that it changes everything. It shows up all of a sudden. It throws everything off by how much airline fuel they have to budget for. It shows that their airline has seats available that they can't sell.
Bullshit. They oversell those fucking flights
all the time.
Don't cry for fucking United.
Yeah. Airlines are dicks. They overcharge, and they monopolize. We know this. There's only a few airlines left, and they... They oversell, they overcharge, they $25 per bag.
Yeah. And it's three guys that Skype once a year and go, hey, we're making a shit ton of money, let's raise the fucking prices.
That's
like, there's
true.
Three people in charge of this whole thing.
I hate it when they're like, I mean, we have to recoup our costs, so we need to charge for water on the flight. Go fuck yourself. Your CEO wants to buy another, like, boat.
Lamborghini, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Another
That's
stadium.
The, like, oil prices are at an all-time low, and they ask the airlines, like, will this be reflected in current prices? They're like,
nope.
Oh, no.
They're assholes.
No. Like, that's what you said. You jacked the price. You jacked
yeah,
the prices up a couple years
so
ago.
Because they were so high.
Fuel prices were so high.
But well, now they should
be
able to
CEOs
buy.
CEOs have become accustomed to a certain standard of living, so we obviously can't lower our prices.
Oh, see, for right. GoFundMe, we buy pens, and we all put in Sharpie marker, those of us with good handwriting. I'm not one of them.
Okay.
See you next Tuesday on the pen, and then GoFundMe for thousands of dollars. Why are we not doing this?
Oh, my Legit. God. We should
Why
get
are
pens.
We not scamming?
Oh my God.
And we got these cut
Let's
mugs.
Get pens.
Why are we
and
not?
Mugs.
Yeah.
And shirts about Girl Scout
and
boxes.
Girl Making boxes a note. Soon.
I have a feeling we'll get in trouble in regards to the eating
if
the box.
We, no,
the
because
box.
If you have, no. if it doesn't say Girl
As long
Scouts.
As it doesn't say Girl Scouts of America, I'm pretty yeah. sure we're
I say
we're
cookie
legit.
Season.
Cookie
eat the
season.
Box.
Eat, the, yeah. eat the whole
Hashtag
box.
Eat the whole box.
Eat the whole box.
And then stand in front of Fry's next to little
kids.
There you
go. Kids. We just had a meeting right. about this. Approve.
Buy me a box.
Take
Buy me
and
a box.
Slap it on
I gotta find
on
the
me.
Receipt for this beer because I'm pretty sure now I can write it off.
Oh my God. Are we a charity now?
Yeah, we'll be a 501c.
We're going to be a something. We're going to write this is a business years. Expense.
We don't have any political views. Lose the tube.
No, it's fine.
Tube lost. Tube lay, lost day.
I like it.
With my dignity. Yeah.
You know, I just have one because I'm going to just throw out when I'm done with this. No offense to anyone, but I'm going to be running out. So to just take care of the kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But
it's not a euphemism for anything.
No.
I'm not losing it.
Why should I be offended?
I'm
what's
not
happening?
Losing the tube. Not losing it.
No, you know. Okay.
But I did want to talk about the that it's cooler on the other side of the pillow with Stuart Scott. As far as
oh.
the with the obituary,
we're doing
stuff.
Death Gen.
I just wanted to make sure and do that because I had said that I would do that. This guy, Sports Center.
Yeah.
If I know that some people aren't like big into watching sports and whatnot, but have you ever seen Stuart Scott?
No.
I don't honestly think that I had until I started seeing
was
it kind of tribute.
What was interesting is when you saw him years ago to when recent, vast difference. Okay. I recognized him from years ago.
Oh, sure. Well, and I learned because I had he had a kind of a wonky eye.
Yeah.
Something had happened. It was after he was at a football game, and a ball with the Miami Dolphins, I think it was, came out of nowhere and hit him in the eye.
Oh, didn't know that.
And messed up his cornea. Yeah, okay. Like all of a sudden he looked different on TV. And
right.
I didn't
no,
it
wasn't
was.
Just that. It's just the overwhelming weight
the
loss.
Weight
and
loss.
He just when you go through what he went through, you look different.
Well, I couldn't. it didn't yell out what kind of cancer he had, and I found one article that it was bone cancer. Apparently.
Oh, didn't realize that.
In 2007, he had to go in for an emergency appendectomy after a Monday Night Football game. They went in and, in removing the appendix, found a malignant, what looked to be a malignant tumor, or what they thought was a malignant tumor. And at that point, he started chemo. That was in 2007. Then there was a recurrence in 2010. And then in 2013, there was the last occurrence. And then he just died January 4th at 49 years old. And the thing that I thought there were two things that were just very impressive with him to me. And one was how everyone was so articulate about speaking about him being a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was really touched by that.
That clearly was his number one thing.
And
those daughters of his were really...
It really was a big deal. And I, you know, you don't look at that with people necessarily on TV and think about that kind of thing. The only thing that it reminded me of, and I couldn't find his name, I was thinking about it on the way here, there was a sportscaster whose son was killed or died...
Local here.
Yeah,
Channel
Bruce
12,
Cooper.
Bruce Cooper.
Bruce Cooper.
Bruce Cooper. In that boating accident.
Yeah.
Off of Florida,
It was awful. Just awful. I remember when that happened. Anyway, the other thing was that he brought culture to ESPN. This little white, born and bred kind of
network.
Network.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's in there, and he's looking at the papers are coming through, and they've got everything, and he's he's doing the
booyah,
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 and cooler than the other side of the pillow.
I love that expression.
I do too. And you know,
God,
you better,
I love the other side of the pillow.
You need to butter him because he's on a roll, and you know all of these different things that you're the white guys are sitting next to him going, huh?
Yeah.
I don't understand what that means. Well,
and a lot of the executives in ESPN didn't either, and they were very hesitant about keeping him.
Oh, absolutely.
And then they found out who actually watched ESPN and realized, oh, you're appealing to the people that watch.
Yeah.
And the people that came out, the sportscasters that are there now, Chris Carter, Keyshawn Johnson, spoke to it as well. The fact that, you know, he said, all of a sudden I heard that I was able or that I would be able to someday be a broadcaster.
Mm.
Because I heard myself.
Because of him.
Mm. I heard the hip hop in it, is what they had said. And and he went.
And not just that, but like just slang. Like
slang, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like just adding a little bit of humor
Not Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
Right. It was. You had a little more
You had a little humor, a little.
Yeah.
He definitely touched that, and that was a really big deal. He had won the ESPY for the Jim Valvano Award.
Right. And his speech.
That speech was phenomenal.
So really, really great. When you die, it does not mean that you lose to cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live. And then when he asked his daughter to come up there and said, you know, I need a hug, forget it, I was done at that point.
D-U-N, done.
Yeah, they said he didn't push the envelope, he bulldozed it. And I thought that was a pretty neat thing.
I watched the entire 49. Like 15-minute tribute that ESPN had done.
Me
and
too.
The story behind it was that they knew this was coming. But they pre-produced all of it with everybody, you know, months in advance and hoped that it would be shelved and never be needed.
Oh, I didn't realize
so
that.
So they had produced the entire thing. Okay. And then obviously when the inevitable happened, they had to show it. I watched the entire thing. And I love the fact that Robin Roberts voiceovered it. Because obviously she went through her entire cancer battle. They were longtime friends in journalism and in broadcasting. I thought that was very cool.
Yeah.
But
you think Robin Roberts is singing, do you have my death package ready? Can I watch that?
Just about every media person, they already have one built for them.
But Rich Eisen, his was on air.
Yeah, no, that was...
And that was his partner
for all those years. But I will tell you, sitting at that computer in my office, I cried for that almost a whole 15 minutes. Yeah. That was so touching. And again, to see his involvement with the kids and how everybody just... It was very touching.
Yeah,
very
there wasn't one person.
And I wasn't even a big follower of him.
Sure.
I just knew him.
Absolutely.
But I totally had respect for what he did.
Yeah.
I was the same way. I thought his speech was very moving. I don't know who the... I didn't know who he was until he died.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
But his speech...
Happens.
His speech... I watched the speech, of course, and it was very moving.
But he had had 5 or 7 surgeries before he went to the ESPYs.
The week before, he had been in the hospital, got out to come to that because he didn't want to...
He was like, I'm not missing that.
Yeah, I'm not missing that.
Yeah.
And so that perseverance. And, I mean, talk about winning the Jim Valvano Award.
Yeah.
You know, that with that idea of that perseverance. So, you know, cooler than the other side of the pillow. 49.
Nothing touches you more when you're looking at 49 and you find out that somebody has
4 years away.
Done that.
That's so young.
That's
so far
crazy.
For me.
Yeah. Going back the other way?
Yeah. Well, thank you guys.
Anyway, so that was but you're right. I think that was touching to see their tribute, and it's worthwhile for him.
Yeah, it really was. So booyah.
Booyah. The other side. Marnie's going to depart right now because she can go get some sleep.
Story?
I've got one more story, then we're going to turn over to Al Perkins. Right. So as we do go to this next story, where did it go? I lost it. Here we go. Well, a Florida couple called the police for help to get out of a closet. John R. Wood and Amber Campbell were found in the janitor's closet at Daytona State College. According to the police report, Arwood called 911 on his cell phone saying that he and Campbell had been trapped in the closet for 2 whole days after someone chased him in there. Arwood could not identify who was chasing them and couldn't give police any other information. Well, police tracked the signal from Arwood's phone and found the couple in a closet in the Daytona State College Marine and Environmental Science Center. The report says police found copper scouring pads, which sometimes are used to smoke crack, but...
Oh.
Alas, no drugs were found in the closet.
Sometimes.
Now, I'm going to show you a picture of these two, and you tell me, Were they smoking crack somewhere? I don't know. You gotta just tell me.
I'm gonna need to see the teeth, please. Now wait, yeah.
was it Halloween? And what's on her neck?
That's a money sign.
It's a tattoo.
Because she lost the tube down there and started making some money.
So the two were charged with trespassing, and
Sitting in a dumpster giving hand jobs for crack.
Campbell was charged with violating her probation, which she was put on after resisting arrest back in 2013. Now to try to figure out how they got locked in, one officer stepped into the closet, closed the door behind him, and while enough other officers stood outside the door did not lock. So Arwood and Campbell were just sitting in an unlocked closet for 2 days.
Definitely not smoking crack. Yeah.
I'm so glad you found this story.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
Let me finish up. There is one more little story that I had to do. And this is, police also in Florida say a man carrying a 5-month-old son who was acting as a lookout while a friend tried to break into somebody's house, then threatened the owner with a knife. St. Petersburg police say that in a news release that a homeowner found 22-year-old Corey Matthews outside his home Monday holding a baby in a car carrier. Police say that when Matthews spotted the homeowner, he alerted another suspect attempting to break into the home. The other suspect fled, and the homeowner called 911 as he followed Matthews, child in tow. Oh, God. Matthews then pulled out a knife and then threatened to kill the man if he kept following him. Matthews is being held Tuesday on a $15,000 bond on burglary and other charges. Pinellas County jail records didn't show whether he had an attorney. Police say Matthews' mother took the custody of the baby.
Somehow I think she's not going to be much better.
Yeah. Hello, Apple.
Mm-hmm. My God. You're running through with your child's seat. Why? Why do people do these things?
I feel like it's never too early to start training your next lookout.
Yeah.
That's what I thought even when he's like, the 5-month-old is the lookout. I'm like, that bitch is not even picking his head up. Yeah. I don't know what he's looking out for.
I feel like these lessons start from day one.
Yeah.
All of a sudden,
they do, really.
He's dead. Right over mommy's shoulder.
Dad sneaking out of the house.
There's anybody back there. You just go ahead and spit up.
Eye on the road.
Right. Yeah.
Dad sneaking out of the house with goodies, and the kid starts breaking in to Let It Go. So, you know. Bye, Marnie. We will see you later.
Bye, Marnie.
Be safe. Get some rest. Okay. As we bid a farewell to Marnie, let's say hello to Al Perkins and some entertainment.
Hello! I don't know. Shit happens. We're going to do a little Death Den, and then we're just going to go over it. We're going to review, make sure we're all ready for the Golden Globes. Why am I not? No, I think the Ruthie juice is gone. Oh, yeah, we used all of it.
Two batches.
We used
bottle of whiskey.
Yeah, I said more ingredients.
I'm glad I play these intros so that you can just shit all over them.
Well, wait, that's my segment.
Yeah, I knew I didn't have much, but I'm going to stretch the one a long time. So we'll start.
Stretch your tube.
Stretch my tube. Hashtag. Oh my God! See, all you got to do is lead me there, and I'll get you a documentary. Okay. Oh Jesus Christ! What's it called? Anyways, we'll get to that in a minute.
Feel free to move around and make yourself comfortable.
Yeah,
you got all kinds of room now.
Let's start with this. It is on Netflix right now. Not right now, unless you haven't turned it on. And I don't know what their little thing looks like. So Netflix, there's a documentary. It's called Does Size Matter? But I think it's not really called Does Size
the
Matter.
Answer is
I think
yes.
That's the tagline.
So, wow.
I feel like that's fat people racism.
But the other thing is, you've all given me so many links that my iPad has so many different links that I have to go to. Like, I need to read the Sarah Palin story. I need this recipe for chocolate rum shit.
This is my computer every night when I go home.
Uh-huh. There's so much to read. Oh, sweet Jesus, baby Lord.
I sent you some story on Facebook. I don't remember what it is now. I'll look it up.
Yeah, well, we'll all find out. So anyways, on...
together.
A really funny documentary on Netflix right now. It's called... Does Size Matter? I'm just going to Google that and find out if there's a movie about it. And it is a man who famously proposed to his wife on a Jumbotron at, I think it was a UCLA Bruins game or something like that. So he proposed to her. She said no on the big screen.
That is
and ran
rough.
Out of the stadium to the horror of everyone that was watching. And they were like, oh, my God. Unhung Hero is the name of the documentary. I knew it had a funny name. And then the in quote, parenthetically, Does Size Matter? Really funny documentary about this guy and just the damage that was done when his girlfriend said that one of the reasons she couldn't marry him was that his penis was too small and he took it personally. So he, and I don't know who his cameraman is, it's a friend, he's a stand-up comic in L.A., so he kind of, like, took his showmanship and his ability to, like, be present and stuff, even though he's like, a lot of stand-up comics, quite shy. And he went and he talks to people, and he goes back to his high school, to his first girlfriend, and asks her, and there was a really horrible joke about him being, like, hung like a
field mouse
gherkin or something like that. Oh, that. And then he goes and he tells his mom the story of why the girl that she liked too wouldn't agree to marry him, and then has a talk while playing basketball with his dad about penis size, and then he goes to like a urologist, and then he starts traveling the world for all of these so-called remedies for enlargement, and some of them are really dangerous, and then you find out stuff like it's not a muscle, and I mean, it's one of those hour 20, like barely a feature-length documentary, but it was funny and sad, and you realize like just the hurtfulness of like...
What I just said when I said yes, it does matter.
Yeah, well, poorly hung men will listen.
That really is sad. But like, can I just ask though? Like, do you kind of think it does? Have we had that conversation before? Like, do you think it does?
Let's have it now.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, I really could go both ways on that. There are times where you're like, oh my god, he's got a big one and it's so good. And then there's guys that are like, well, it's big, but he has no idea what to do with it, and it's just this thing.
And he's an idiot.
It's the elephant in the room of, like, but you are just hurting me. Like, there's no fun being had because you have no idea what you're doing with that thing. And then I was with someone on and off for a little while who had the micropeni problem. I think that's what they really call it, micropenis. But, oh my god, the things that he did to compensate for it were delicious and delightful. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Because I have had some small penis in my life, and I think it's horrible.
Yeah,
I've gone for vagina now, but I hate tiny penis.
There was that one thing was off the table as far as what we were going to do with it, but everything else that was at the table was pretty good.
Cat hates it too, apparently.
So that was the trade-off. We did have to do different things because penis-related events were not in the Olympic menu.
In terms of, right. But you know what I mean? He could do your penis-related events.
Right.
Yeah,
we had one tube to lose, you know what I mean?
So, but I actually had an is it in moment.
Oh, I've had a couple of
and
those.
And that sucks.
I mean, I think we're doing something, you know what I mean? We're
yes.
Like, I mean, I'm watching the time because,
you
know,
like, what?
DVRs like, weren't
rolls
invented
over and he's
yet.
Like, that was awesome. And you go, what just happened? Yeah.
Was
what
I involved?
Was awesome?
Oh, I thought you spilled juice. I'm sorry.
What? So, I don't know. I've always been an I think it matters kind of a person. But to hear it from the other side of a small penis man.
And it really was. I mean, I've seen two of the micros. One was a pity fuck, and then one was someone that I was with more
that
than
you
once.
Liked.
Yeah, yeah, and I liked him, and the sex part was fine. Like, I was satisfied. There was a Snickers bar there.
You never know which direction this show is going to go. You never know. We come up with so many different topics, both large and small.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, I had nothing to contribute here. So.
Yeah, well,
I just drank more.
Because you're the gold.
But you have a cunt mug.
Because you're a gold star lesbian, right?
Oh no, no, no.
Oh.
Not a gold star.
Oh,
you're from Utah.
Cat.
Are you kidding?
Oh, I forgot.
I don't know why I'm doing that.
I don't either.
I'm not sure either. It was a teenager.
Just hit
for
the
God's
spot
sakes.
And fuck the rest. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah.
Coming up, well, we call it hour three. We drink more. We continue on. We have thoughtful vulgarity. The rest of Al, some from Katie, and then we're going to shit all over whatever Kat's going to want to do. We'll be back in just minutes right here on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, get everybody. 9:02 in Phoenix. I don't know what time it is where you are, but hi, you're with us. It's the show. It's Q Talk America. Continuing on our broadcast excellence on this, the 6th of January, in the year of somebody's Lord, 2015. Yeah. We're in the middle of a segment we call
Our Lord, I thought.
We call it entertainment. We just specify that this is the entertainment section because Al talks about the entire show, but this is really his segment. Continue on.
This part we get the chance to shit on me.
These are his topics. Sure.
I do love a scatagorical reference. Google it. It's funny. All right. So I'll play Death Den 2 and 3 real quick.
Mm.
Mario Cuomo, one of my favorite people, and he gave birth to my my future husband, Chris Cuomo.
Sure.
CNN, who they always keep in a chair because he makes everyone else at CNN look like a dwarf because he's a tall, studly man. And then I saw him standing up with his brother and his father, and he's the shortest one in his family.
OMG.
These are gigantic Italians. So Mario Cuomo, governor of New York for 12 years, and his breakout moment was my real introduction to, like, grown-up politics. I can't do the math. I'm almost sure I was not able to vote in 1984, but I was very involved due to a dear friend's mother who was very involved in elections. I definitely was not 18 in 1984. So I could not vote in 84, but I remember the Democratic National Convention and how much I loved Cuomo's speech to the convention and answer to the city on the hill and all that shit that Ronald Reagan was always selling. And it was just a fantastic speech, and I was excited at the chance that when I was going to be able to vote, I assumed he was going to be running for president in 88. And then when he didn't in 88, I thought for sure he's going to run in 92. And I just, the whole thing about Bill Clinton took me so off guard because I'm like, who the fuck is that when Mario Cuomo's sitting over here? And I always wondered, like, is there some skeleton in his closet? Like, what is keeping this man who's clearly a rock star of the Democratic Party and, like, just one of the greatest liberals of the late 20th century, like, what is keeping this man from running? And supposedly it was his love for New York, and he just didn't want to leave being governor. And then Clinton won in 92, and there wasn't another window till I guess he felt he was too old.
I'm sure you can answer this question for me. Who was it? Cuomo? Was it Koch? Who's the one that really cleaned up
That's
all of Times
Mayor
Square?
Of New York. This is governor of
New York. Oh, my bad. My bad. Got it.
No, Giuliani's the one that
he's
Koch
the one
that reigned. Koch is the evil fuck that was the closeted queer. That is one of the, like, from the evil Margaret Thatcher, Ronald Reagan pool of just pure fucking evil. And Giuliani's
horrible, horrible people.
Yeah, Giuliani's the one that was hated until September
11th
at, like, 9 a.m. Like, hated. Because he Disneyfied New York.
Was he hated?
Hated. Watch Sex in the City. They bash on him right up until September 11th.
I don't think I remember that.
He was, because he did. He's the one that started all these petty crime things. The reason that guy got strangled for Lucy's. That's a Giuliani thing of stop these petty crimes, make 42nd Street a little safer, get the porn theaters off 9th Avenue.
Who doesn't love a good porn theater?
Right, and so it went from being New York was too dangerous, it was a little sketchy, to, okay, now it's just Disney everywhere, and ESPN owns a corner, and like now there's no, like, now you're like, Times Square once,
no
and then
grit.
We're going to go.
Yeah, Times Square is horrible. Yeah,
like, I know one nice little French restaurant that I can help you out to on, like, 46th Street, and then...
Well, before you go to a show.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been there.
Yeah,
actually,
little,
I think
little
I
French
have.
Place. Across from the Belasco.
Okay, so anyway, I'm thinking mayor, it's governor.
Yeah,
my bad.
But Mario Cuomo, he was, and it was just sad, and his son is now governor of New York, and whether or not they knew, he started his second term on the day that his father died, and whether they knew he was dying, but he acknowledged that his father could not be there in body, but they hadn't announced his death yet, so whether they were waiting, you know, they were doing the, you know, savvy media family, and Chris Cuomo was strangely absent from anything, you know, and he tries to stay away from his brother being the governor. They try to keep him away from interviews or stories about New York state government, even though they're broadcasting out of New York, but you have the governor's brother as your morning anchor. So just sad. He was just one of those people that I really liked. And then a sad little death, and he was one of those people that you've seen in 100 movies and maybe didn't know who he was. I found him in a movie that I'm going to Google the name of because I think it was called Franklin and Eleanor, but I'm not sure. But I know it was him and... why does my memory escape me at the stupidest fucking times? Jane Alexander as Franklin Roosevelt and Eleanor Roosevelt. And then he was an Overboard
as Goldie
Hawn's husband that leaves her for Kurt Russell. You know, he does leave her for Kurt Russell. That makes sense, like it was a gay movie. But Edward Herman, he was just a charmer, big, tall man, big geek. He was in The Wolf of Wall Street. He was the villain in The Lost Boys. He's one of those people that seriously is like third guy from the left.
He was in everything.
Everything.
Director and everything, yeah.
Oh, my God. Hundreds and hundreds of credits. But I just want to find out what the name of that movie was in the 70s. Because again, everything comes from TV. I don't find out anything in real life. It was called Eleanor and Franklin, the White House years. It was in 1977, 76 and 77. It turns out they had a sequel. I liked it so much.
Hmm.
And he played Roosevelt. And I was just so intrigued by him. I don't know what it was about him, if it was that he looked like Roosevelt. And he played FDR again in the movie Annie. You may remember him from... Mm-hmm. Like he
Wait,
just,
what's his? Who is this?
Edward Herman. But he's just was in so many movies. So he died. Long career, long life, well lived. Born in 1943.
Yeah. Grant was his name.
Grant. Snookums. So it always just made me laugh. And he was in so many movies that I liked.
Yeah, like you never
third guy
really
from
like,
the left. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. I know exactly who he is.
And while you're in the death, I mean, a couple other people that we lost. Of course, Donna Douglas. From Beverly Hillbillies. She passed away. She was Ellie Mae Clampett. Mm-hmm. Little Jimmy Dickens, who was the longest running, shortest 4'11 performer from the Grand Ole Opry. He also died this week.
And that's one that I never heard of. So that's why I sent out that message. Yeah. Like, if you've heard of some of these people, pay tribute because I couldn't do them any justice.
There was another guy named Joe Guercio, who was the right-hand man of Elvis for years and years and years. He just died this past weekend.
Oh, wow.
These are things.
There's poor Joe.
Yeah, poor Joe.
So what did he do for a left arm? Anyway, so...
Coke.
There you go. There's a pun for Marnie.
Yes.
A pun for Marnie. Oh, and there's an interesting...
That was not a pun. That was a bad joke.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
I just want to... It's gone.
Sorry.
So No. So we'll move on to our Golden Globe.
Oh my God, I can't wait. When is it?
So your movies. Updates. Unbroken, deservedly left out of the Best Picture field.
Okay.
Everyone's hair just gets better. Like it really isn't going to watch someone get beaten for 3 hours. But the guy's hair goes back to being perfect in the prison camp. Like every 5 minutes, he's freshly shorn. You know what I mean? Like his hair's got to grow. Something's got to happen. Like,
was it you or someone else that said it was Steven Spielberg-esque?
Very much so. And it's written by the Coen brothers.
Someone may have said that.
And it was just a style of directing. Yeah, I didn't hate it. I just kept thinking. And now that you said that, that does make more sense. Like, we just kept going to, like, lovely sunsets in the prison camp, and there was just this weird thing where he would come out of it and his hair was exactly the same.
He's in a prison camp.
Yeah.
It's not fucking lovely.
I just felt like he was doing glamour shots when the cameras turned off, so can't fuck with his hair. I felt like we were back in that
19... So you're glad that it wasn't nominated.
Yeah, I don't think it deserves... Like, everyone was saying it was a big snub. Not really. It's rentable. I certainly wouldn't waste the $25 for two of you to go see it in a movie. The star of the movie, though, honest to God, is the supporting actor that plays the
pilot. I've read an article.
Everybody's doable. I mean, you know what I mean? They're all doing a good job.
Right.
With enough liquor, everybody's doable.
Everybody's doable, right. That's a true fucking story. I slept with a micro penis twice on purpose.
I mean.
There's probably liquor in both stories.
Sure.
Anyways, the one that plays the bird, the prison camp, the one that leads the prison camp that's for some reason obsessed with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it sticks fairly closely to the book, except for like the sun rises and the sun sets and everything's pretty and his hair is always perfect. But the guy that plays Bird, or the Bird is what they have to call him because they can't call him anything bad. They have to call him something innocuous or they'll get beaten.
Mm-hmm.
An amazing performance and one of those things where it's all in his face and you can just see the madness coming over him. Very Nightcrawler. Jake Gyllenhaal, like that's someone to watch, and he's never been in a movie before. He's from some Japanese band, or he's one of Jolie's children. I'm not sure.
Shiloh, so that was John,
it. And then Amy Adams needs an Oscar. Everybody's talking about Big Eyes that she's going to be the surprise.
Ooh,
coming up.
I saw some stuff about that after you talked about it 2 weeks ago.
It really is supporting to me. It's Christoph Waltz's movie. It's a Tim Burton movie, but it all just kind of laid there. Christoph Waltz is amazing, but Amy Adams, she can't win an Oscar for this. Like, I'll stand
it's
up
not
and
her
say
turn.
Not.
You
her
say
turn.
No, okay.
There's other people, and so. Just to get your Golden Globes in order, and I'll talk really fast. Best Picture Drama, Theory of Everything, Foxcatcher, Imitation Game, Selma, Boyhood. This one, Selma or Boyhood. You know, who knows if Selma's really peaking. It opens up this Friday. Uh-huh. They're opening up for MLK Weekend. Boyhood is the 12 years in the making movie that everyone's kind of drooling over. It's rentable. Rent it. I rented it at home. Very rentable. Good performances.
Not like I can't wait to go out and see it.
No. Plus, it's not in theaters anymore. It left theaters last summer. Best Motion Picture Comedy. Pride is the one about the minors getting together with the lesbian gay organization that we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's available for rent. It's really cute. It's one of those charming British movies that makes it every year.
Mm-hmm.
This one is a true story of how the gay rights people and their gay pride parades wanted to find something to raise money for, and one of their causes happened to be the miners that were striking against Margaret Thatcher. It's a charmer of how the small mining community and through their bigotry make friends with the gays and they end up supporting each other. And
cute.
Gay rights became part of the Labour Party in Britain because of the miners' unions.
That's interesting.
It was, and it's a really charming, fun story with a great cast and a lot of fun. Into the Woods.
Into the Woods.
Here, it's not. Into the Woods. Next week we'll talk about the SAG Awards, and I really think this is this. It should win Best Ensemble now that I've seen it, because that's rock stars. St. Vincent is up, Grand Budapest Hotel, and Birdman. I think Birdman's going to win. But I got to tell you, online, the fanboy pages, Grand Budapest Hotel has one of the biggest followings I have ever seen. Like, this movie is a cult hit.
Yeah. I saw someone watching it online yesterday, the other day, who posted, I just don't know what to make of this. Like, I don't know what genre this is. I don't really know.
It's Wes Anderson, You Never Do.
Right.
But Google Wes Anderson if you're not sure who
he is. I saw St. Vincent, though, and I loved it.
Yeah.
It was so great.
And another great, touching. That's a great cast. Another one that could be, we'll talk about the SAGs next week, though. Drama, motion picture. Selma, David Oyelowo is playing Martin Luther King, Theory of Everything, Nightcrawler, Imitation Game, Foxcatcher. I honestly think the way the box office is going and everything is going, I think the Imitation Game and the way that Benedict Cumberbatch just spoils everyone's chances
at awards.
You said
his name.
Yes, because now I had to learn it, because the fucker just spoils every award show.
Yeah.
And I think everything is going Benedict's way. I think box office, critical acclaim, the tide's on
more
his side.
More than Theory of Everything?
Yeah, I think he peaked too soon. Now, you never know. The Golden Globes are 72 people that no one knows who they are. They're like anonymous. No one's sure what they're doing. They just want TV ratings.
Everybody's drinking and
everybody's drinking.
Forms.
It's just for fun, so you can't take this seriously. The Oscar ballots close on Thursday, so this isn't going to have a lot of pull on the winners. Don't have pull on the real balloting.
Mm-hmm.
So it really has become just for fun, and you just don't know what these crazy fuckers are going to do.
It's my favorite kind
awesome.
Of show.
Yeah, mine too.
Now here's Best Actor in a Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy. This is Michael Keaton's year for Birdman. I don't think anybody else has a chance. When they're separating drama and comedy, Michael Keaton just stands alone for Birdman. Actress in Motion Picture Drama, we have Theory of Everything, Felicity Jones, Wild, Reese Witherspoon, Gone Girl, Rosamund Pike, Still Alice, Julianne Moore, Cake, Jennifer Aniston. Watch for Jennifer Aniston here. This movie was made for no money. She hired the Weinstein people.
Oh, yeah, Cake.
Person. Next week, if she wins this award, do not expect to see any other commercial on TV. There will be more money spent on TV commercials touting a win this week or next week, because it rolls out slowly this week. You know, limited release this week, wide the week after.
I mean, I love
all
her, so
based
I, hope
on awards.
She, I hope it's
and
good.
She is banking on this movie
is
to keep her out of ever doing a Friends reunion show.
Yeah.
This is her ticket is out, of
out of
a Friends reunion show.
I hope she wins.
This is the one that got all the feminists in a twist about how you have to get ugly to get the Oscar, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she really doesn't get ugly. She just doesn't wear makeup.
Doesn't wear, right.
You said you thought Julianne Moore, I thought, previously.
Julianne Moore, they
was...
owe her awards, but this is a small group of people that throw things at Julianne Moore a lot. She's won awards from them. They don't owe her anything. So it's a whole different ballgame of owing people. Nobody, Golden Globes don't owe anybody anything, and Jennifer Aniston's a bigger star. And because they snubbed Angelina Jolie everywhere, they got to get somebody pretty and famous on the screen.
And why not, like, her arch rival in, like, Marriage?
Right. Oh, it's great drama.
Ooh, I love it.
Best Actress in a Motion Picture Comedy, we're going to tie this together. Annie for Quvenzhané Wallace.
Really surprised, because I know you hate it.
No, I don't hate it.
Oh,
I just,
Buddy hates it.
Yeah, but no one's done the original score, and that pisses me off. They keep fucking with it. But this is the movie that's pissing everybody off. Not pissing everybody off, but proving all of us wrong. It's making a huge amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's now like the number 13 musical of all time and still making cash.
The day I went to see Into the Woods, everyone like around me and in front of me was going to see Annie.
Yeah. It's making
everyone with I know
in
with
fact,
children.
We almost switched.
Yeah. Everyone I know with movie going age kids going to see Annie. We were looking for a film to see with my family. And like we can't take Palmer to Into the Woods or anything else. And we almost went to Annie because we're like, it's
and everyone and let me tell you,
and we were
everyone else did. Because this movie, I mean, Into the Woods is doing better box. Of us, but this was the movie that we all predicted would die in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Was so, if you know, oh my god, why are you fucking with Annie one more time? It has nothing to do with black or white. It's just that you're messing with the score.
And it's the what did Buddy was saying? Like the
what do they do with the voices when it goes like this?
Oh,
falsetto? Yeah, no.
No.
Oh, God, please, that's not my falsetto. But
I was trying to.
Probably
I didn't know if you knew what it was. Or...
No. What is the thing when they.
Auto-tune.
When they, thank you.
But okay. They had to auto-tune everybody's voices.
I mean, my voice is
that,
not good.
And they said
that,
Cameron,
that was your auto-tune?
Uh-huh. I've heard that that's Cameron nice. Diaz was just awful in it. But I have, well, but she just makes awful movies.
She just got married also. So
please see Bad Teacher, because that's one of the worst movies ever made. Okay, The 100-Foot Journey, Helen Mirren, they got nominated for something. Maps of the Stars. This could be where they throw Julianne Moore a bone. Into the Woods, Emily Blunt, Big Eyes, Amy Adams. Who knows? This is going to be a fun category to watch. They may give exciting. The 10-year-old girl something woo-hoo. Because, again, it's getting box office. And no one knows when the awards, when their balloting starts or ends because they
it's
just make up
secret.
Their own
It's all
rules.
Super it's mysterious. Awesome. That's so fun.
Supporting actress in a motion picture. Seriously, I'll start buying you all drinks if J.K. Simmons doesn't win this category every single time you watch an award show for the next
Mark
month.
Mark down this time because well, we
yeah,
need this
seriously.
Sound clip.
And which is this?
J.K. Simmons whiplash.
This, buying drinks.
This is your only lock this year. This is your only lock at every award show. This man should have his tux pressed and ready to say thank you to people he's never met
I'd like
before.
That to be a soundbite going forward when we
whiplash.
Talk about award things.
We talked
which,
about
wait,
it
which category?
Supporting actor.
Because I'm ready for free
sorry, I'm like on a page and I'm
and you
looking
know,
for
and
it.
If you have the soundtrack to the 90s version of Guys and Dolls.
Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah.
He's the guy singing I Got the Horse right
Yeah,
here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
Got it right here.
Okay, so actress in the motion picture supporting actress. You have Meryl Streep, Emma Stone for Birdman, Keira Knightley, The Imitation Game, Boyhood, Patricia Arquette, Jessica Chastain for Most Violent Year. I would say this is where Boyhood has its best chance of winning something. Mm. It's an improvised movie, so I doubt it's going to win screenplay awards. It depends on how it all plays out, but we call this the Jane Campion Memorial Award, where you just have to throw a movie something to acknowledge that you loved it. Mm-hmm. I think Patricia Arquette gets an Oscar
and here's
and everything.
What I thought was interesting. Jessica Chastain has been everywhere.
She's been for years.
But in the last two months... In every single magazine, like every fashion mag, every people mag, every
because she has a movie
mag,
coming out every 3
everything.
Minutes, and she does all the press. I don't know how this woman sleeps. She did 7 movies the year she did The Help. She did 5 movies last year. She has 3 movies in release currently. Mm. Like she makes movies constantly, and it's just you're like buy one get one free. Like when does she, and she did a Broadway play last year,
yeah,
which killed her Oscar because she wasn't that great in it because the bitch is tired.
She's like fucking everywhere.
Okay, so we're just gonna skip down to The Anointing. Best foreign picture, I think Force Majeure is probably gonna win everything, but that's just my guess. Best animated feature, we went the Lego Movie because I love that and it's the only one I saw.
Everything is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Everything is cool
when you're part of a team. I just absolutely love that. So I honestly think
children
look for Netflix. Let for gay man who watches.
There it is.
Cartoon movies for no reason except for somebody said they were good. I honestly think we're going to see anointings of things. Netflix is going to sweep. I think comedy is going to be all Orange is the New Black. I think drama is going to be all House of Cards. I think it's going to be the anointing of Viola Davis. And I think this is where she starts getting her tux pressed and just getting willing to say thank you to people she'd never met before. Because I think she's going to win every award.
I'm excited.
Up
I like
to the
her.
Emmy. This is her. Yeah. This is her.
Soups like her.
First step to getting Soups being the first black like woman her. To win lead actress in a drama series.
For the murder
Jessica
show.
Lange.
Yeah, so just it's my prediction that this is the start. This is the drum beating for Viola Davis to finally have a black woman win best lead actress Emmy, but she's going to take all of them coming up in SAG Awards in this. And I think in Matt Bomer is finally going to win something for the Normal Heart. Everyone was accused of homophobia for not giving a gay man an Emmy for playing a gay man. That it's not acting, and he lost to Benedict Cumberbatch. His friend.
Yep.
The whole spoiler thing at the Emmys was all about that. So I think Matt Bomer wins something, but I'm going to get his name right. So I'm just going to find it. I think... Where the fuck? Here it is. I think this is where Jeffrey Tambor for Transparent is going to start his march to everything.
Because everybody is talking loves it. About it's this. All I've heard about. Like, over Christmas break, that's what I saw on everyone's Facebook feed. Watching Transparent. Can't get enough. Like, it's amazing.
I think this is the start. They may throw the... The only shot that I think Viola Davis has of losing is if the Golden Globes decide to be a little racy and they give What's-Her-Face one for Orphan Black. I think Orphan Black is your spoiler because people have been like kind of beating the drum for her. But I think Viola Davis, J.K. Simmons, just press your tux, be ready to start thanking people. I think those are your two surefire just watch them sweep everything. That those categories are kind of over.
I'm excited.
So that's it for entertainment. I tried to do as fast as I could.
Sorry, I know, and we kept talking. When are the Oscars again?
The Oscars are February 22nd.
Oh, I can't wait.
The Golden Globes are this Sunday. The SAGs are the following Sunday. No, the SAGs are two Sundays after that. And the Oscar nominees are next Thursday. Ballots close this Thursday. Nominations are next Thursday.
It's like all happening.
So many things.
So does that mean I'm supposed to be at your house next Sunday?
This Sunday, yes.
That's what I'm saying. This next, the next one coming up.
But really, hold the cal for... I'm going to actually put it on my calendar.
Cal's on the calendar.
The 21st... Wait, the 22nd, you said.
For the February 22nd. It's the last Sunday in February.
Oh, my God. So it's the Sunday before the HRC Gala 2015. If anyone's interested in attending, you can purchase tickets at hrcazdinner.org.
There's that. Anything or no, Katie? Just
I do.
Okay, well then we'll let you go.
Okay,
thank you. I'm going to keep it really, really, really super short because I have a ton of things, but. In sports, Chris Christie's an asshole and he's under investigation. Baseball class of 2014. Size doesn't matter when you're playing dwarf basketball. Yeah. Same-sex love and marriage in Florida. And the double dick dude. What's happening? I don't know if we did double dick dude before.
No.
But okay, so I'm just going to be quick.
I don't know if a lot of people have done double
dick
dude before.
I've got some stuff, but I have a lot of stuff, but I'll just be quick. Chris Christie, I don't know if anyone saw him. He was at the NFL playoffs. He was celebrating with the Cowboys, with Jerry Jones. The critics are piling on his office after he was revealed that he had been paying for the potential 2016 presidential candidate, Jerry Jones, rather, had been paying for him to be a part of the team. My brother and I, for example, were sitting around talking. Matt goes, what the fuck does he care about the Dallas Cowboys? And I go,
money.
Well, he wants to get campaign contributions. That's why he cares about the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And I had another friend that posted a photo of Chris Christie jumping up and down in the box, and this guy, who isn't necessarily political, posts that photo and then says, well, here's my vote for Hillary in 2016, to which I replied, I don't know what that means, but yeah! Like, I'm glad you're voting. A Wall Street Journal story published on Tuesday revealed the Cowboys are part owners of Legends Hospitality, which is the operator of the soon-to-be-open observatory at One World Trade Center. The new skyscraper is operated by the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which Christie and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo jointly control. Christie's office says the gifts are permitted under an executive order that allows governors to accept gifts from relatives or personal friends that are paid for with personal funds. But Democratic Assemblyman John Wyszynski, co-chair of the Joint Legislative Committee that led an investigation into his Bridgegate scandal, said that the contract looks very suspicious. So anyhow, they're investigating his... taking these free tickets to participate in the Cowboys suite. And all I will say from a relatively insider's point of view is that Kyrsten Sinema and our office is psychotic about not accepting anything. Like, someone brought a Christmas gift and it was like a thank you, and it was very, very clearly like, this is going to such and such a office, and thank you for the gift, but we can't accept this. It's going to, like, the homeless shelter.
Yeah,
like,
that's,
people...
It's just smart.
You know, it was... you gotta be really, 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 really careful, and I wonder if it's when these guys have been in politics for so long, they just stop thinking
Forget.
About it, or they think they're above the law.
No,
or,
I think there is a lot of that.
And we've lost that old rule about even a hint of impropriety. You know, you should err on the side of discretion. Now it's like, be on national TV in the owner's box.
No.
Where and my best friend left him hanging for the high five. Like, he was trying to high five them at the score.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody's like, fuck you, Jersey.
You're a dickhead.
Like,
you're stupid.
Your state
Stop
doesn't
it.
Even have a team.
Yeah.
And actually, so you, two teams play there, but none of them will admit to it.
Right.
Like, I just see politicians be very careful. And then when you're not, you're going to get called out on it. Mm. And you could be investigated by people who don't like you. So that was happening. So baseball, and the only reason I bring this up is because it comes a little bit back to home. There were four baseball players elected into the historic class of 2015. Former Major League Baseball stars Randy Johnson from the Arizona Diamondbacks.
From
would that be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
What did I say?
Elected.
But this sounds
they are elected, but yes, okay. Also inducted.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just checking. I wasn't not being snarky.
A World Series winner. So I'm like, Jesus Christ, I can't think. He played the World Series. I mean, he played for many years, but he was in the World Series game.
Yeah. Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz, and Chris Biggio. I might have gotten that wrong.
European.
Yep, it is. Thank you. They've all been elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame by the Writers Association of America, the baseball writers. The crowded 2015 Hall of Fame.
With their induction ceremony to follow.
Ballot featured 34 retired players, including 17 newcomers to the ballot and 17 holdovers from previous elections. The trio of Cy Young award-winning pitchers who earned enshrinement in Cooperstown were on the ballot for the first time. So kind of exciting. And those are... the three pitchers. No, I'm getting it wrong. Wait a minute. Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, and John Smoltz. I think we're the pitchers, but I forgive me if I'm mistaken in that. Anyway, just kind of exciting because here is in Arizona, Randy Johnson.
And if you live in that area,
the big unit,
the visit to Cooperstown is a lot of fun. I've actually been to the Baseball Hall of Fame, and it is fun.
I know some baseball fans who've like traveled. You
and
know,
now they have the tribute to the Lady Miners, whatever they're called, soft, you know, the Women's Professional Baseball League,
the number one lesbian movie of all time, A League of Their Own,
and gay men.
Yeah.
And also a bar. You know, this used to be Central and Camelback.
That's true.
In the old AJ's complex.
Place. I know.
Yeah, this used to be my playground.
So, size does not matter when it comes to dwarf basketball people. Jemani Swanson is the Michael Jordan of dwarf basketball. And I'm just going to have to put this on our Facebook page because, like, you can't believe it until you see it. This guy right here, teeny teen.
Because he's a dwarf.
He's only is that rude to say tiny tine? Maybe. He's only
it's
4 feet.
Bigger than dwarf.
On this show?
5 inches. 4 feet.
Dwarfs
tall,
are very
five
upsetting.
Inches. So, like, if you really think about. So, like, he's we not the smallest of the all dwarfs. I mean, 4 or 5. But he stands tall among basketball players, even
that
those
are dwarfs.
Who are a couple feet taller than him, apparently. He's 29. Swanson, a star player of the New York Towers.
The puns keep coming. I thought the team was going to be called the Lollipop Guild.
Yeah, this is intentional because all the teams are short in stature, but long on proving Daughters. The point that little people can stay with the big,
already on the list.
Can play with the big boys.
Are they indubitably completely done?
Indubitably?
Absolutely done.
People think that if they're bigger than me, they can we post represent. Me up. But just because I'm small doesn't mean I'm weak. This guy is definitely, I mean, could be, but I feel like he might also punch you on the face.
Oh, the knees.
And by face, and you mean
vagina head. Yeah, I don't
vagina
know.
Vagina head.
What that even means.
Vagina head revisited. New on PBS this fall.
Well, Rita Hayworth gave good face. Remember that?
Yeah. She did. Yeah, that's true. Lose the tube. Wait. Barcroft TV, whoever the hell that is, said that he is the Michael Jordan of dwarf basketball.
Barcroft is a leader in dwarf basketball broadcasting.
Yeah, well, that's probably right.
And if you want some advice, if you don't want to be part of dwarf tossing, don't sign up for it.
Legit. No, that's a really good point.
I'm going to post this link because there's actually a video of dwarf basketball.
That, depending on how many beers in you are, might be fun.
There's like a whole diatribe that may or may not be angry about how he could be in the NBA, motherfuckers, if he was 1 foot taller.
Just the one deer?
Just a foot. Actually, half. Just a half a foot. Just a half a foot tall.
How is he compared to Spud Webb? Because Spud Webb was a little guy.
I don't know.
Spud Webb was 5'2".
Check out
was
the Facebook
he?
Page yeah. and you might
so
find out.
He was close. Spud Webb was up. And you think quite. I could pull that out of my ass. Spud
like
Webb. It's the name from the 80s.
From like 4'8" to 5'2".
Who's to say what 6 inches is anymore? With the small penis store we had from earlier. I swear to God, it's 8 inches. Really?
Yeah. So the last piece.
Listen, mosquito fucker.
Nothing but dick jokes.
The last piece that I'll go to, and actually is not double dick dude. I might save that for later.
Oh, no, come on. You have to do double dick dude. Do them both. Hurry. Go
double down. Double down.
I have two. I only have two stories happening in Florida.
It's really exciting. Yes, a judge lifted the stay for lifted a legal stay for Miami-Dade hours before a same-sex marriage was set to become legal across the state at midnight on Tuesday. So it's one of the most notorious and vitriolic anti-gay legislative campaigns in U.S. history. Happened in Miami-Dade County. It was really, really, really
and
ugly.
And isn't Florida 36? Is that the 36th state?
I believe it is.
Oh my God, is it really?
Incidentally, I believe Miami-Dade County, the famous Hanging Chad County as well.
Oh, yes. the Dangling Chads.
Yeah. Yeah, you are absolutely right.
I used to love them on Saturday mornings.
Yeah. So a judge ruled in August that Florida's 2008 ban on same-sex marriage was discriminatory, but it's been there's been a stay like since then. And anyhow, a federal judge finally lifted the stay, and people are really excited. They're getting, of course, you know, lovely, lovely couples are getting married, and it's great. And
Jeb
I'm sure
Bush, almost presidential nominee, has weighed in.
He did,
and he said he would hope that we would have respect for both sides of the argument. So what you're saying is one side has to be tolerant of the other side being intolerant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
What and you're saying is please accept our hatred. And move on.
He walks the middle of the
road.
But
then he says,
sort
like, because he says, please, I'll be respectful of you two wanting to be a monogamous couple as long as you respect my right to believe that you're going straight to hell.
Like, yeah. And he did, yeah, it was exactly what he did.
Because his wording did stay, he basically I believe in man and woman marriage.
He tried to kind of walk both sides of the line very, very clearly, being more on the conservative, socially conservative side that marriage is between a man and a woman.
It is 36 states because on the freedomtomarry.org website, it's at 35 and they have not updated it to Florida. So 36th is Florida.
And it was yesterday the 5th?
Sixth.
Today's the 6th. But they're also wondering now, will Florida become the Deep South's prime gay wedding destination? And it just makes me laugh thinking about the Deep South and gay weddings. I mean, it's not like funny, but
Arkansas already, who fell? Arkansas, one of the real...
like randomly, like Mississippi?
Well, according to their website, now in Missouri...
Texas hasn't fallen, but one of the big three
in
Bible belters.
Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas all have pro-marriage court rulings pending. So they haven't turned...
So Mississippi has it pending.
Yes, according to
I thought Mississippi
went. Oh, no, Louisiana. Louisiana fell, right?
Louisiana's pending. According to this map. Now, I don't know how outdated it is.
Who made the map?
It's freedomtomarry.org.
No, but if they said 35, then but there's a surprising Bible Belt state that's fallen. Does it have
there was like a Tennessee or a Kentucky
They're not.
No. And Georgia in here it says people from Georgia are crossing the border to go and marry.
How about South Carolina?
South Carolina is good.
That's the one.
South Carolina, North Carolina, Kansas, Oklahoma.
South Carolina is one that I was thinking of. That's like
they're dancing around all of it, so it's interesting.
Because you know, South Carolina is the one that's like the third primary, the third Republican primary is South Carolina, and the real big conservatives like Huckabee and Gingrich.
They needed to
win South Carolina to stay in the race. Like that.
Oh, isn't that fun during presidential elections?
Yeah, when you get to the presidential,
look at the states, and it's fun.
It's going
to
be
South Carolina is third, and that's where they start to thin out because the first two, you know that the deeply religious conservatives are never going to win. They all wait to get. They don't start raising money till whoever wins South Carolina, and then you only get one crazy Christian,
right?
Because it boots if you don't win South Carolina.
What's interesting is just that Florida's like a vacation destination, and so now, especially, you know, and so now all of these folks in the Deep South, they have a really fabulous, beautiful place to get married.
But also remember, the expression is politically, the further north you go in Florida, the further south you are.
As you go up
the shaft of the penis, you end up
at the foot of Georgia, Alabama,
Deep South deliverance country.
Right. Yeah, that's a valid point. It's interesting to look at the map and realize that there are 36 of these that are colored red for the freedom to marry. 14 that are left, but like that map is dwindling.
It's
so
crazy.
Well, yeah,
it's
crazy. We're at more than 2/3 now. I don't know how my math is. But
14 left to go, and that's just interesting to think of.
Because if they wanted to make this an amendment now, because you know to become an amendment to the Constitution, you have to have 2/3 of the state ratify.
We're there.
We have two. I mean, the state legislatures have to do it, which probably wouldn't happen, but we are now. we are now like a new amendment to the Constitution.
It's been all federal judges.
Yeah.
And
well, but really,
and
we're forced three to votes. Have the Supreme Court talk about it, right? Because the because one of circuit court,
the
right?
Six, yeah. The Sixth Circuit.
Which
was
like,
other
well,
is it, isn't that where the Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee,
yes.
all of that
Wait,
is?
I thought
no,
it was
no,
like Nevada.
No, Nevada's good.
Nevada's good.
Yeah. Nevada's gone.
Wasn't there something
that
on
was
the west?
Ours?
The no, entire was, mountain was, time zone west is solid.
Yeah, good. it was the Sixth Circuit that just said
that was like
we
Ohio,
don't think we
Tennessee,
should decide.
Kentucky,
like they just kind of waffled. Yeah, it was a wussy decision, and that's when the Supreme Court has said, or Ruth Bader, because I want my Ruth Bader Ginsburg action doll.
Action figure.
Lose the tube. She had said that it would all be over if, and she maybe shouldn't have said it out loud or in print.
Or should have knocked on wood or something.
Yeah, because when she said that if the Sixth Circuit went along with it, then the Supreme Court would never touch it.
Right.
And then the Sixth Circuit ruling was so vague of like, well.
It was really wishy-washy. Yeah. Really like, oh,
and
we
easily
don't want to hear you do it.
Yeah, it was really easily overturned and hard. It was hard to argue, but it just punted. It just said, you know, I don't want hate mail.
It'll so be interesting to see, pardon me, just this tail end, with these final 14 before this falls, it'll be interesting to see when it comes down to the wire who the last fucking holdout is.
Yeah. Everyone,
and it's not Arizona. Well,
no, it's not, but it's just going to be interesting to find out who is the last one who's just like...
Because my money was on Arizona. I lost,
I agree.
Those Super Bowl squares a long time ago. Yeah.
So, we speaking about, I don't know, you were saying something about like hard to fall and can you believe that there is a man with two penises?
Oh.
How was that segue?
That was a segue right there.
It was
yeah.
something else that you said. I've drank a lot of Ruthie specials, but it was something else that made sense in my head. Double Dick Dude writes a new memoir, Man with Two Penises Tells All.
It's a doubleheader.
Actually, yes. His book is legitimately called Clayton.
Shut up.
Doubleheader, My Life with Two Penises. Jeez, and he answers questions, describes struggles, and tells tales of his many sexual encounters. I realize that there are still people who are genuinely curious. Like, still? Yeah, I'm really genuinely curious about your two penises.
I am.
So I will just tell you this. There's
I'd rather
a,
see the two penises in Britain and Covent
Garden.
There's
a long article. I'll post this as well. He has a Twitter handle and like a Tumblr.
I'm thinking two of them.
Yeah. With pictures. Like straight up pictures of his
it's
double
the penis.
Penis
in the reprise.
You guys, if you've not seen this, it's the craziest fucking thing. He's got nuts and two dicks. Two functioning.
How many of those drinks did you have? Because all of a sudden you are off the charts.
No, two. No.
Remember
Kelly
how excited
and
you
I,
was about AJ's?
Kelly and I have had this conversation.
Oh,
like,
really?
I'm like, babe, you have to look at this. Two penises coming out of the same place that one penis should come out of. And they split like this.
Are either and, one of them big?
I mean, I don't.
Pull up the picture.
Yeah, I'm going to put the picture. You
if
guys,
only there was
I'm going to show photos, and then I'm also going to put them on our Facebook.
This
and
is killing me.
Yeah, two penises. And that's it in...
Oh, that's it. Wow.
Double dick-dum.
She's getting out of that. We're going right into Cat... I hate, that was a horrible metaphor. We're going right into Cat Carlson.
Lose the tube.
What a toss. This weekend, shit on this. Here's what I've got. I've got a tweet gone wrong. I've got the Ultimate Slacker Scholarship in Kentucky. Breaking news, Kid Rock is still alive, and Al Perkins just handed me an article that I'm going to read first.
Oh, this yeah. just in.
So, to preserve a little bit of continuity, ignoring Double Dick Dude.
Because it's serious.
Right.
Yeah, it's serious.
I'm posting his Twitter online.
We'll stay political for a minute and let you know that Oklahoma lawmakers are considering turning a law originally designed to fight the Ku Klux Klan. Turn that into a law that would make it illegal to wear a hoodie in public.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Very nice. The existing law enacted in the 20s totally. Bans the wearing of hoods while committing crimes. I know.
No, right.
Because the KKK, you know.
This is from Don. Don brought this up.
Thanks,
however,
Don.
A new proposal would reportedly extend that ban to include any hoods or facial disguise worn in public, punishable with a $500 fine. Oklahoma State Senator Don Barrington, clearly a Republican,
yeah.
wrote the amendment and, according to local media, sought to help victims of robberies. The intent of Senate Bill 13 is to make businesses and public places safer by ensuring that people cannot conceal their identities for the purpose of crime or harassment.
So it, you can commit a crime, just please take off the hood.
Yeah, just please wear your own face.
Let us all see who's...
He says similar language has been in Oklahoma statutes for decades, and numerous other states have similar laws in place. Oklahoma businesses want state leaders to be responsive to their safety concerns, and this is one way we can provide protection. The amendment would provide exceptions for religious attire, clothing to protect against weather conditions, and garments worn during Halloween celebrations. So clearly the purge is still on.
Yeah.
Right.
Halloween. And the other funny thing
you
is...
You can dress up like KKK for Halloween.
There'll be a religious exemption. Well, you know those Ku Klux Klan people that all have a Bible in their hand. They're like,
right,
you know,
yeah. Oh, religious purposes. Natch.
We're wearing this robe for deeply held religious beliefs.
Right.
Natchy natch.
Clearly, clearly.
Jesus clearly was white.
You know,
and he wore a robe, so...
Santa is just white.
That cunt.
Like, we...
Those
Santa's just white.
I just want to set her a little bit on fire.
I hate her.
We could and probably should say every week and 100 times, local politics matter.
Yeah, oh.
Oh, my God, yes.
Every time. This is a state legislature right here. This is people that were locally voted on
right.
by the state of Oklahoma
by the,
making this crazy shit up. Like, the moral of
that
story is...
And the election that all of you ignored.
Right. Yeah, the election that nobody ever showed up to.
Right.
This guy got elected by 300 people.
Oh,
it's
exactly.
Horrible.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, 300 people showed up, voted for this guy.
Local elections matter.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Hashtag lose the tube.
Yeah. Hashtag
seriously, don't lose that tube.
The tube. All right.
This is a little bubbly, but pretty good.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's like low alcohol.
Breaking news. Oh, did you know that Kid Rock is still alive?
Yes.
I did.
And is talking to people about God knows why and
it's
about
weird.
Gay people and gun
right?
rights.
Like,
and
he's
yeah.
so weird, and I like one song of his, but I'm trying
ball
not
to. Ball with the ball, bang to bang, boogie boogie.
No,
no, not that one.
I was not prepared for a Kid Rock sing-off.
I liked his remake of Sweet Home Alabama, but other than that, I'll let it go.
That well,
a couple
it was,
years ago.
It was
I've been
mashup,
waiting
but,
my
yeah.
life in a hotel. That's
oh.
not the song I like, but.
Oh, no. That
I
one,
can't stand
shut
that
it
one.
Down.
That's
shut
a karaoke.
Did you hear that for karaoke
God.
Forever?
Yes.
Ever.
Yes.
Okay.
At Mary's with the gong. Fuck
yeah.
that song.
But are you going to gong me
pictures.
Right now? Are you gonging me right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I have to say.
And I want to drink you away. Fuck you.
No. I do.
Just fucking die.
I'd like
That's
to do. I'd like to do counterpoint to Kat, you ignorant slut.
Wait. Kat, you.
It's Jane,
ignorant,
you ignorant
no.
slut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I was there with you.
Jane, you ignorant slut. What I would do during karaoke, during horrible renditions of pretty good songs, is
sing louder than they
we
did.
Didn't have a gong, so you had to do it. But because I don't listen to the radio, so a lot of times mm-hmm. I had never heard a song. And there are so many songs that someone would be singing, and I'm like, all right, well, you suck at this. But underneath, I think there's, like, I think I like this song.
I feel
song.
Like there's an okay song. There.
Okay song. Oh, and that's one of those songs right. that after all those horrible renditions, I finally, like, went on iTunes, and I'm like, that's a really good song.
Sure, and it could be, you know what, and there are songs out there that
and
I only know how one person sings it, because yeah. I heard it every fucking week for 12 years.
And isn't that weird that, like, the one
that's
person
so
shows up every
like,
week
every
for
week
12 years
sings
and sings
the
it the same
song.
Way, the same night, the same
and let me tell you
that I know
there's
it.
A lot of people in Phoenix that only, and several other cities around the globe,
sure.
that only know me singing Silver Springs. Like,
oh, good.
Most people have forgotten
Can
that Stevie Nicks ever got that.
Right now?
No,
poor Stevie. Poor Stevie. Well, Kid Rock recently did an interview with The Guardian for God knows why, and he spoke bluntly.
Talking about his hepatitis. I'm talking about
no,
my
he was speaking bluntly
talking
about his
about
fame, fortune,
hepatitis.
And family, and he even made a few statements regarding some of the nation's hottest political issues, including gay marriage, the war on drugs, and abortion. Because we care what Kid Rock has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to scroll down and just summarize, he says that he's an ordained minister, and he doesn't look forward to marrying gay people, but not opposed to it.
Well,
not looking forward.
Then how about
article.
I just don't ask you?
How about if I don't invite you? Yeah. He also says, I don't smoke much weed. It makes me dumb, but they should legalize and tax everything. Pot, cocaine, heroin.
That
has
makes
it not-
me hate him.
Has it not been proven that people will always find a way to get what they want? And I, like, sickly and strangely kind of agree with him there.
No. I just don't think you can legalize heroin. I can't. I
no.
just can't.
No, I don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I pot, yeah. I'm on board with it.
People are going to buy it no matter what.
They are, but
they
I just
are,
don't think you can legalize it.
Yeah. There's just no. That's one of those, like, no happy endings, like, crystal
heroin
meth.
Heroin is horrible, and you just can't.
And crystal meth, like, the two locked in a closet, like... The stoners are locked in the closet. They're not calling for help. You know what I mean?
I get them. Yeah, like they're going to legalize.
They're losing
it.
The tube. They're building Legos. Well,
either that, or they're going to figure out in about 6 or 7 hours that oh, we can get out.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
When they
oh, wait
a minute.
Simmer down.
In hindsight,
we're out of Cheetos, and the door opens.
The goblins from the Gremlin movie are not outside. I think we're okay.
Yeah.
What is this copper thing I was smoking pot?
Yeah. The other thing is, you know, I'm hungry. We can probably break down this door.
But the legitimate news part me was that Kid Rock is still alive.
Seats for two.
And talking to people.
A couple years. Seats two. $49.95.
Sauce on the side.
Oh!
Weird. Like two penises.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
You are so fascinated about this for being a lesbian.
I've been reading about it for days.
A couple years ago, I can't remember who the big artist was at the time that everyone was talking about revolutionizing the music industry. And then... Oh, penis number two is not pretty.
No.
I guess maybe not meant to be there.
Penis two is definitely like
he
a weird...
He only went to either. One breast, though. Did you notice that? One of them is circumcised.
Yes, but there
the Jewish half is circumcised.
That's his mother's side.
No, I think that was just maybe a hard side, because here's another version. They both look like they might not be circumcised.
Just stop. Please stop. Please.
Right? What's going on south of the border there?
Stop it all.
That's the other weird thing I was looking
at. How many illnesses does he have?
That is a big, big, big...
But anyways,
it's a jewel.
The name of this show, incidentally, has got to be Double Dick Dude.
Yeah, Double Dick Dude. And Two Tubes to Lose.
Oh my god, he has two tubes to lose. It's true.
Yeah, he's double hashtagging it.
Oh.
A couple years ago, whatever the story was about the music industry, the number two story was, and Kid Rock has the number two selling album of the year that no one will admit to buying.
Right.
And it was like 2012.
It was it wasn't Sweet Home Alabama. It was the Sweet Home something whatever. The mashup that he did between Sweet Home Alabama and I can't remember the other song.
And that album was when the whole record industry knew. I think it was maybe the year of Adele.
Yeah.
That they're like, yeah, Adele's making a lot of headlines, but you know who else is selling a lot of records mysteriously?
It's Kid
Fucking Rock.
Yeah.
And that's when I said, he's alive?
He's still alive?
Flash is alive? Flash Gordon's
alive. Well, slackers of the world... Unite,
hello, I'm right here.
Unite and celebrate because a private liberal arts college in Kentucky says it will make video games an official sport and start offering scholarships to gamers this fall.
What?
Good for those. Fucking
okay. All right, Bag of Nope wins again. Bag of Nope just won. The first dick got all the looks. Second one got the brains.
Oh, I'm glad she joined us.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
Late, but still good.
Oh.
In any event, the video game move makes the University of Pikeville one of only a few schools in the nation to provide scholarships to those who play League of Legends, a multiplayer online battle arena game.
Yeah, that's when you know that college ain't going your way, when you got you got a credit in video games.
Well, Pikeville's new media director, Bruce Parsons, says it's actually becoming a worldwide trend. This game is 5-on-5 competitive play.
Ooh.
I saw that movie one time.
There's a two dick dude role in that, I'm sure.
Double dick dude.
It takes skill, practice, a lot of teamwork, and double dick dude.
And a couch. Comfy couch. Yeah.
A couple towels.
Parsons says that the school is dedicated to providing different types of technology to its students. I think there are going to be a lot of students, both nationwide and international, who are going to look at our university who wouldn't have before.
Yeah.
Stoners. Slackers.
People with C averages.
And dropouts.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Cat, yes.
Let me tell you, my freshman year of college, if there was an elective for reciting your social security number out loud and rolling joints with one hand, I could have been an A student. You know what I mean? It would have been like 4.0 the whole way. I felt like that's all. By the end of my freshman year of college, I'm like,
that's all you did. Was
here's what I can do. I can roll the joint in one hand while saying, you know,
for this.
Why would you have to recite your social?
Because back then in college, that's
your whole first year.
Oh my
god! Sign in here with your social security number. Your lunch number is your fucking social security number.
Oh, I've never
do your laundry with your social security number.
It was every single thing. Every question, the answer was
social security number, or the last four at the very least.
Gotcha.
Oh my god.
That's how they make you memorize it.
Even double dick dude can't hack it in a five-way because it's an odd number, Bag of Nope. It needs to be a six-way for him to have the fun he needs. Otherwise, the one with that didn't get the looks is left in the cold.
The ugly dick.
Almost
sad,
literally, Molly.
Wah, wah.
I tried to be very careful with my literally.
Well, sad face
sad,
dick.
Cold dick.
Interested parties who might be our listeners. Pikeville
or
University. No. Listen, internet podcast, are you kidding?
We got him. Yeah. We got him.
There's somebody going, hey, Pikeville University. I'm going to Google that right now.
I am actually
they plan
doing
to
it.
Offer 20 scholarships when this program begins. Yeah. League of Legends competition play starts this fall.
Uh-oh. It's embarrassing.
It will be a regime a lot like athletics.
A lot. Very similar to.
They'll have to have a certain GPA.
Totally different then.
We'll look at them like student athletes. There will be practice time and video time when they have to study other teams for competitions.
Oh, fuck me.
Right. Right. So, Pikeville University,
but I have to offer it up
Kentucky, USA.
Just as invalid or invalid as we like to pronounce it when we're not insulting the less capable. the film studies course that I took, that it was like films of a genre, films of one director, and then when you got to the 400 level, it was just talk about Psycho.
Sure.
Not the Psycho that you were dating or shared your dorm room.
No, like Hitchcock.
Hitchcock was your director, and I made it as far as the studying the films of Hitchcock. But if I had stayed in college one more year, or could stay that stone for 9 more months.
Sure.
That's what the class would have been, was we would have just discussed Psycho. I didn't read the whole brochure because I might have been a little high reciting my social security number.
Right.
But it might have been like you did like 3 movies, but I know that the focus of the class was on the genius that is Psycho. Like once you did
dissect the great directors,
then you could pick who your great director was. But that was so funny.
No mockery intended. This is a public service announcement.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Do I have time for one more, or should I be done?
Sure.
Sure? All right. So, social media users, beware. Tweets can go wrong. A cyclist crash joke tweeter is sacked from his job.
A cyclist what?
Stand by. A man who tweeted that he had knocked over a cyclist but could not stop because he was late for work has been sacked, means fired in other countries, from his job at stockbrokers. Ryan Kadar later told the BBC that the message was a dumb mistake and he did not hit anyone. No. But his employer said the tweet was unacceptable and confirmed his dismissal.
No.
So this motherfucker thinks it's funny. He says, oh, I'm gonna tweet.
They were looking for a reason to get rid of him.
Yeah. Well, maybe. But then to make matters worse, the Somerset police earlier appealed to the victims to call in and say, hey, are you here? They've investigated this guy.
And son of a bitch did it.
No, there's no evidence either way. It's still under investigation. So what's happened is this guy decides that he's going to tweet one morning, hey, hit an asshole on a bike, but I couldn't stop because I was on my way to work.
Oh,
so he gets to work.
Prick.
Work says, hey, guess what? You're fucking fired. And by the way, cops want to talk to you.
Oh!
Yeah, I know. I failed in the reading of said article because it was in British. I don't speak British.
Yeah, the OU in color can fuck you up.
They say the same thing about American English.
It's a true story. It's a true story.
It's American.
But beware your asshole tweets because...
Well, why would you tweet that you...
Because he thought it was funny.
Well, it's not.
It was funny. He later tweeted that I did not hit a cyclist today. Not today, not ever. And a bad joke on my part, it seems.
Also, I'm looking for work.
Yeah. Also, are you hiring?
Stockbroker is out of a job.
Hashtag hire me.
Yeah, no kidding.
The investigation is still open, and they are looking for potential victims to come forward.
Wow.
I know. I know. And that's all I've got. And surprisingly, not so shit on this.
Yeah.
Not so. Yeah. Well, there we go.
What the fuck about a pirate?
We got.
Oh, she talked about dodgeball.
I don't know, but you're not a pirate, goddammit.
I might be a fucking pirate.
It's the one who thinks he's a pirate. I don't remember. He dresses like a pirate. I don't know him. Okay, if you haven't seen Dodgeball, it's right up there.
I've totally
seen
Dodgeball.
It's up there with Drop Dead Gorgeous. Like, it's just required viewing.
Drop Dead Gorgeous. Good.
Yeah.
You're all right, we've wrapped up almost done with hour 3, but we're going to go a little more. We've got Thoughtful Vulgarity, and it goes something like this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics, religion, why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Okay.
All right. Well, as we come back after that intro, Al had to step out of the studio for a moment. So this is the time where we stretch while K Kat and Katie talk about something, I have no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
Are you kind of with me on this?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Here's what we're talking about. We're talking about it's kind of like how the Size Matters thing started out with the big screen proposal and how
I'm
she said
still
no.
Making a face.
No, no, no. It's okay.
I need to
hang
know.
On. Yeah. I'm gonna get there. I'm gonna get there.
You just moved your mic.
The big and you're making the face because of the big public proposal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were just whispering off to the side about offline. About you know, some folks that apparently got engaged. Take those headphones off before you go.
No, sure. Slide this over.
Yeah, help that.
You were playing with this and you turned it.
Damn it! Thank you.
All right.
Lose the tube.
Yeah.
Got it.
So the grandiose, like, look at me, I'm getting engaged thing has for a really long time been really annoying to me. And it does, and it happens at, you know, your local bar, and it happens at, you know, your local basketball game and whatever. And I always feel like that's a really unfair proposal.
Mm-hmm. To the person, you know, who's receiving it.
To the person who's receiving it, right. Because A, you probably don't know it's fucking coming. And two, now,
you know,
50 to 10,000 people are looking at you going, hey, say yes. Like,
or
that's
else,
a lot of fun. Yeah, or else an entire stadium full of drunken basketball
or
football fans.
Crazy lesbians,
or an entire bar of crazy lesbians that you might know. Like, people are just going to basically boo you if you say no. So,
and I think the worst thing to do was to say yes to just get through the public moment and then have to tell them.
Because I would do that. Like, if someone proposed to me in public setting,
I feel like that's what I would do too.
Oh, I would. I know
Let's
myself
just get
enough.
This over with and get the
I would
cheers,
say yes,
and then we are breaking
we'd
up as
kiss,
soon as we get
and
to
then
the
I'd be like,
and then you need to
go
pack
fuck
your shit because we should have talked to this.
This is right up there with singing happy birthday to me in public. Like, we've reached one of those moments.
And none of this clapping shit, happy, happy, fuck you,
happy
I'm leaving.
Happy birthday, happy birthday.
No, I will.
That's a knife to the neck moment, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't usually enjoy that either.
But go on, because I think this is really bizarre.
No, but I think it happens, and it happens a lot. No, and it's okay, and I can say it, you know, because it happened surprisingly a lot long before gay marriage was even a thing at the local gay bar that I used to work at all the fucking time. Are you kidding me? I was there for
lesbians. It was date number one
all the time. Yeah, I was there for like 10 years. From the time I was a DJ, I had, you know, some drunken lesbian being like, "Hey, I'm gonna propose to my girl tonight. Can you give me a live microphone?" I'm like, "Fuck yeah, why not?" Why not?
Let's watch that train crash.
That's appropriate for 11 o'clock on a Saturday night in a
clear
dance
the dance
nightclub.
Floor.
Yeah, let's just clear everybody off the fucking dance. Let's stop everyone's Saturday night
and you
so
have
that
a
you can
moment.
Make an ass out of this girl that you've been dating for 6 months.
If that long.
One of
right,
the,
I, was,
like,
I thought at the end was going to leave in minutes.
Days that my sister and I were there, we were talking about some like friends that we know who had recently gotten married, both of them. And have
to
since,
each other
no,
or separately?
No.
Okay, good.
There's and have four since, people in the story. It
yeah,
takes two.
Oh, yeah.
Legit.
Have
one
since
enough,
split up and
true.
Now are like soulmating each other, which is super duper.
So
and
happy.
Just, we were talking about like the embarrassment. I don't know if embarrassment's the right word. I'm totally hijacking your segment here.
No,
but like
I
the invalidity,
beat.
Maybe, or the like the embarrassment of
it's
gay
a horrible
marriage.
Public.
And I'm saying like as soon as gay marriage is legal, everyone's like, marry me. And like 14-year-olds are doing it. And like I have seen women who and this all came about because I saw a friend who had gotten married and a wedding, like a legit huge,
like a legal
know them,
gay wedding.
You know them. No, like a big gay wedding.
Oh,
these
you know
two
them.
Women.
You know them.
Oh, really?
They're split up.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
I just, not that they're listening to this, but I just in case,
no,
you know.
We probably Lord. Shouldn't name drop.
I almost gave my social security number out over the air.
These bitches got married like a big,
like a big wedding, yeah.
White gown, family involved, like beautiful
setting.
And then
setting. Got divorced as they were walking out of the church.
Well, they're just not together anymore. And it doesn't matter because they didn't ever get legally married. And,
right.
You know, and I feel like marriage is taken so lightly. And it bothers me because, like, I've been with Kelly for 8 years. We have a child. And like, we haven't gotten married. That's our own business. But I just feel like.
Don't do it at a Suns game.
I'm
like,
thank
don't,
you.
Don't start that shit.
Or at the local lesbian bar. Yeah. I'm not
going
to do that.
Can you interrupt this game for just a minute? Right. I know she's about to
they
score.
They do it all the time. It's just a matter of laying out the cash. Like, you can propose at a Suns game.
Anytime.
Yeah, call the right people and lay out the cash.
Right.
They'll put it on the the Jumbotron.
Fuck
and they'll
that.
Say, yeah.
But I think
at
that,
a timeout.
But I feel like a lot
it's
of gay people
do.
Don't get, but I mean straight people as well, but it's highlighted as gays since we've now gotten this privilege, is
this is serious. Like, when you marry somebody, it's for life.
We're treating
it
like we got a new puppy. Yeah.
We marry each other for a lifetime. We have, and certainly we know people who have been divorced, and I get it. And but, like, people who have, like, couples who have stuck out marriage for years and years and years and then said, you know what, this isn't the right thing for us, and I bid you farewell, whether it's positive or negative. But, like, when you marry someone, it's for life, not for a couple of years.
And you know
that's called dating.
It's going to take a cycle. It's going to take almost a generational cycle for the gay community to get that. But because we've been doing weddings for a while. You know what I mean? We've been doing the commitment ceremony that doesn't legally mean anything and is super easy to walk away from. Like, we just have to decide who gets the dog and who keeps the house or whatever it is. Like, we've been doing this for so long. Like, I can't tell you how many gay weddings I've been to and how many of those gay proposals I've seen or helped or handed a mic to or whatever. Like, it's going to take a generational cycle, I think, for a lot of the gay community to get it.
And and marriage is an institution, no matter who's in charge of it. That's been in crisis. Like,
it has.
I was 14 or 15 years old before I ever met someone who had divorced parents. Like, I didn't
weird to me when I was young.
There was that one kid in my junior high school. Yeah.
And I mean, it just wasn't part of anything that I knew about. And now as I got older and I met.
Let me tell you, play dates are a nightmare now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like our kids are at their dad sometimes, and then the other kid
So now there's so much divorce, and now that I meet people, like, the great minority is knowing anybody whose parents are together.
We're together, right.
So
it's true.
Right, and then and one of the big eye-openers for me was Tim was dating someone who came from such a dysfunctional family that his idea of a relationship was fighting. So he would start fights because that to him
was comfortable.
As I was seriously playing Psych 101 with him, was that's what he thought a marriage looked like because he only knew his parents as embattled.
Yeah.
So if they were getting along and happy, that wasn't something
it was weird.
It didn't even register to him as a couple. So I'm like, why are you fighting today? And there'd be like constant fights outside the door of the apartment, and I'm like, why are we fighting today? Like, what's the topic today? And finally, I'm like, environment that you just, is this what you just look for in a relationship? Is just constant confrontation about nothing? Like, this isn't even something that could raise your, you shouldn't even get out of bed out of it. Like, this shouldn't even make you turn over and look the other way. It was like, I like mayonnaise, not Miracle Whip, although that would be a real fight with me.
That's a serious, that is serious.
I just realized the gravity of my query.
I'm going to go a third direction and go mustard every time, so.
Well, apparently that's not okay if you're Obama. That's a whole another story.
What the fuck?
But yeah, I'm gonna it's Obama's fault.
No, carry on.
You have to, right? Obama and the mustard and Fox News.
I love
News.
That we organically got to talk about
Okay, so for just... a quick question. I had it written down. Let me find it. Because I like their wording. So, and it's not going to be under food.
Is it a BuzzFeed quiz?
No.
I love
them too.
Oh, I
take those all the time.
I know what friends
we are diametrically opposed to orphans as yard markers.
Yeah. And seriously, what would you do with a dwarf?
It's awesome.
Put it in basketball.
No,
because apparently that's a thing. Basketball money.
What was the weirdest thing you've ever done on the date? And you can't say up the butt.
Up the butt, Bob. It's one of my favorites.
The weirdest thing I've ever done on a date.
What's the most? Not what you didn't have to be weird, but what's like the most unusual date you ever went on? Because looking is coming back, and they had one of the best date episodes ever.
This assumes that you've actually been on multiple dates. Is that how this works?
Well, we're hoping.
Listen here, Mr. McKee.
No.
Have you been on one date your whole life?
But, then that would make it unusual.
But nothing.
Showed up unusual.
But nothing.
I had not a date unusual to be loved by anyone. Unless he's the dude with two dicks.
The double dick dude.
Double dick dude. God, I can't get it right.
Different double date.
Hashtag lost the tube.
Oh.
Tube won't fit.
There's two of
most
those
unusual thing. I don't even know.
I'm with you.
I'm a pretty standard. I love first dates, which is weird. Like, most people really hate first dates.
No, they're so fun.
I love first dates. I think they're really fun.
Especially if you want to make
out. You are a sick bitch.
What? I can be anybody I want to on a first date. On a second date, I gotta stick to the story.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. God damn it. Turns out I gotta know how to be a veterinarian.
Right.
I just like making out with strangers, so...
That is true. That's a
lose the tube moment.
I have that dream a lot, but sadly, I don't know a lot of strangers anymore.
Stranger danger.
Popularity breeds contempt.
I think I'm going to go with, I don't know if it's the weirdest thing, but I think it's the grandest gesture.
I'll go with that. Use weird in your own way.
Sure. Yeah, I'm going to go with the grandest gesture. And it was one time that I just... up and somebody I was talking to was like in California for a pre-planned vacation, like visiting a friend or whatever, and I up and like closed the bar I was at and had a day off the next day and like drove the fuck to California all night and was like, hey, let's go to breakfast.
That's fun.
My god, I love it. I want to be the girl on the receiving end of that date.
I mean,
that's great. That's good.
I mean, I'm gonna go with the grandest thing.
Yeah,
I think that's the grandest thing.
That's really good.
We'll take grandest gesture. I like it.
Grand gesture.
The Grand Torino.
It's a Grand Torino.
So fun.
Oh, good news! I just reminded me of something. Oh. Go ahead, keep going.
Katie June.
Stranglers and midgets.
Strangers.
The person that,
Strangers and midgets.
I read stranglers. That's also weirder. Okay.
Thanks, Ruthie. We've lost the ability to read. Hey, Richard.
God, I can't think of like a weird first date. I've done
unusual,
a lot of weird shit.
Unusual, grand, funny costumes, different
something
size
that's
dildo.
Not dinner in a movie.
Well, I will. So it was not certainly. I'm like really trying to think. It was certainly not a first date.
It's usually
early
on though. Yeah.
In my relationship.
No, and I'm sorry if I said this was first date. This is any date. Like just.
I think I'm the one.
No,
who said first date.
I don't think you specified.
Yeah.
She pigeonholed us.
Yeah.
I did. I'm sorry. Because I like first dates.
Then I'll tell you the most grandiose thing on any date. And I've had, and Kelly, when she was kind of courting me, because we went through like that courting phase, you know,
always
which was
fun.
Just,
yeah.
God, like, take me back there. Bye, Palmer. Take me back. Ooh, the courting.
Not happening.
So
I think there was male porn in this.
So this
right?
is like before we lived together. This is like just dating, you know. And she tells me that I need to she's going to come over. So. It was two couples, and the two girls that planned it said they were going over to their girlfriend's houses, and they were going to pack for us, because we're going on a surprise vacation. And I said to Kelly, we weren't dating long enough, and so I'm like, fuck no. You're not packing my underwear for me and, like, all this other shit, and no. And so we kind of, like, had these funny conversations, and it was, like, a place I've never gone and all these other things, and... I said, well, just give me, like, enough hints that you don't give it away, but, like, I can pack for myself. The other girl went over to her girlfriend's house and packed for her. And that was... I just, like, was too weird about it. And anyway, the long story short, I pack my suitcase for Seattle because we're definitely going there, like, in my head. Like, we're going to Seattle, and I take, like, cool rocker boots and, like, these baby doll dresses that I would... I bought baby doll dresses that I don't normally wear because I'm gonna be, like, a funky 90s, like, hipster in Seattle.
And you realize you've only known her for like 8 years, right? So like that math doesn't add up to a 90s rocker.
I was doing the math myself.
I'm like,
I'm gonna break in here theory. It's not even my theory. I stole it from someone else and she'll know who. That lesbians get stuck in the decade that they kind of came out in or kind of like
I
identified
did not come
their
out
sexuality.
In the 90s.
I know that, but somehow sexually you got stuck in the 90s.
Maybe because I still bought a new leather backpack recently. I'm
so
very
the woman's
90s
still
lately.
Wearing that nicely feathered mullet.
Yeah,
what year she came
I'm
out in.
I'm still super 90s. So anyhow, I was having sex dreams about women maybe in the 90s. That was a thing.
And there it is.
Yeah. So anyway, it was really fun. We show up to the, long story short, we show up to the airport. It was just a very exciting thing to like go to the airport. You have no idea where you're going. And we were going to Hawaii. And I had never been to Hawaii before. And so
you went in baby doll dresses and boots.
What the fuck? Right.
It you're was just like Courtney Love.
Totally.
With a syringe hanging out.
Which really was working for her.
Yeah.
In like Maui.
And if you'd have been to Seattle, they might have thought you were Courtney Love.
Yeah, I said that. As we showed up, like, I thought we were going to fucking Seattle. Like, I didn't have anything to wear. But a bathing suit, which was all I needed. It was really like a fun gesture. It was
very fun.
It was very extravagant for anything I have ever done.
Kelly's good at dating.
She's good. And
like,
I
was a poor version of that, like driving my happy ass in a Toyota.
No,
all the way
I don't need to.
Yeah, no.
It was a really exciting. We went with another friend couple. We got drunk on the plane. We just had a lot of fun.
Drinking?
Very
you?
Fun.
No.
Yeah, well,
honey, no. Ones are awkward. Like ones are
I don't have any of those stories. I have none of that because I don't. There was none.
You don't do nice things for
No, what I do is I do nice things for all the boys that I can have.
I drove.
Oh no! All these stories.
I Celine Dion, by the way, all the way the fuck to California. Yes,
you drove all night.
You Cindy Lauper'd your way over.
Technically a Roy Orbison song.
Technically a Roy Orbison.
You know what I did? I drive all night to get to you.
I mean, I want to sing that.
I always say that. Roy Orbison's version, it's okay. Right. Cyndi Lauper's singing about driving all night because she's in love, and Celine Dion is singing about the car. Like, clearly it's English as a second language song with her. She just doesn't get it.
Either way.
All the emotion gone.
I did the thing. Katie had the thing done to her. You do the thing.
Thing done to her. I think with Eat the Box.
No, I do things like...
with a pineapple
again,
in this story.
Barking up all the wrong trees. I do the things... for, and I'll just, well, it'll be a nameless. Somebody goes out of town. What was that? Did you hear something?
Yeah.
Maybe. Keep
talking.
Go.
Oh.
Oh, don't die. Don't try not to die. Up there.
Well, I don't think anybody, nobody's coming to the house.
I don't know.
I moved this.
I feel like it was
I moved
probably
this.
Probably Maggie.
It's probably this. I moved this.
Oh, it might have been.
Could have been. Anyway. Well, God, now...
So what did you did?
Find out if Al comes back to the studio.
Yeah, I'm
what did you
curious
do?
About Al.
No, but like,
his
I will
wife.
Go...
Let me go check on him. I can see.
This is why I think I would be the perfect boyfriend, because somebody went out of town, and they're not the person who takes care of their car and cleans their car and does that. So I coordinate with the roommate, get the vehicle, do the entire detail, do everything, clean up everything. I do all that kind of stuff so that when they come back, what do they have? A perfectly clean vehicle.
Oh, now, do you have sex in the car? Because it's a date story.
That's very sweet.
How, no,
that's a sweet
but
thing.
But
I'm alone.
Okay.
I know. Well.
Now, similarly grand gesture, but in front of the person.
Yeah. Now you've got the theme.
Right, but it doesn't matter because I'm
no,
barking up the
I'm,
wrong
I'm,
tree.
I'm serious.
There's like, not. A, there's not. A, there's well, not that.
You and Danny never went on one nice date.
We understand.
Did
your
you?
Unrequited love.
Yeah.
Where?
Oh, a bunch of them. We Santa Monica. We were on a cruise together. Like,
I drove to LA, loaded costumes, and drove him to Laughlin to a Harrah's Casino where we did a Look, show for 4 months.
To be, it pays to be lazy. Yeah. Let me
yes.
tell
you.
Well, I had a truck.
I mean, I can give you a story about him. I mean, not to show you up on the
no,
guy we both
you,
dated.
No,
but
you apparently laid more to mind in regards to this. I just there's not much. I just don't think of it. Like, even with Gio or Steven or Danny or any,
I'm a little worried that there wasn't one nice moment in there.
No, but
there probably
but
was.
I have to say, too,
but we're going
like,
to your mother's house. I love your mother.
But I have to say, though, too, like, that it's hard because we've certainly done nice things, but I don't know. Like, that one thing was a very nice grand gesture. But other than that, and that's, like, recent. I can't think to any of my, I'm, like, trying to think. We fucked on a couch one night. We got drunk and fucked
maybe
in the back
the,
of a car
maybe the
one
art
night.
The back of the truck.
Maybe the art of dating is being lost. Then
it
maybe
could be.
Maybe it's just hookups and no one's. I mean, one of my.
We were together 7 years. That was not a hookup.
No, but I'm saying, but if you never went on a nice, memorable
two good
date,
years.
I'm a little worried.
2 good years, right?
Right, and not, but not one
seven
nice
years,
date.
Too
like.
Good.
There probably were, but nothing really comes to mind that I really think of. Like, oh, this is crazy. Like,
it,
really-
you know, it doesn't have to be huge because I dated another girl and just kind of like randomly out of the blue picked her up and had like, I don't know, I think I had like Subway, like I didn't even make the lunch, but it was like a midnight picnic and I was like, we're going to go to the park and the, you know, the night was beautiful and the crackheads were in the weeds and you couldn't see.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, what
guys? I need to do something nice for Kelly right now. Like, this conversation is inspiring me. Like, I need to do a nice date.
Sure. I mean, there's a couple of things came because I go last, so I always think about it. Like, one guy wanted to just go to Tower Records in New York City. I was dating this guy back and forth in New York City, and the one day it was like, and it turned into a little tradition. We were dating on and off for a little while. And every time I would go, it would be like, all right, you show me your favorite CD of the last couple months, and I'll show you mine. And that's how, like, he found me Mary Mary. He's like, I know it's Christian music. He's like, but you're going to love these two girls. They're so much fun.
So fun.
And one time he showed me Tina, and I'd be like, okay, this is what I'm listening. I don't remember what I showed him, but I remember all the things. And it was like, go through Tower Records and like, all right, I heard this song. I think you're going to like this. Let's listen to this CD.
Oh, I love the music game. Love the music game.
Oh, yeah. And it was just really, it was kind of like a mixtape, but live in the store of like, you're going to, because we knew we weren't going to see each other for a couple of months in between. And
I just love Dawn. Crackheads were in the weeds.
Beer poetry.
Dawn, it's awesome. Thank you.
Well, she was a special girl. I love
swing sets, and I've always loved swing sets. Mm-hmm. And sometimes
I like swing sets.
I guess when I'm drunk, I talk about my love of swing sets. And a guy back when I lived in Niagara Falls in high school, a guy that I dated, mm-hmm. took me to Fort Niagara. The fort from the Revolutionary War that sits across from Fort George on the Canadian side. And turns out there's a swing set like right on the cliff. Mm-hmm. And so
over the falls or something?
No,
I mean, not over the falls.
No, but you're down towards where the Niagara River opens up the lower river opens up into Lake Ontario. So you're like overlooking the Niagara River opening into Lake Ontario, and it was freezing cold. It was like December 27th or 28th. It was like a mid-holiday date, and we were all in. And he didn't tell me where we were going, and we sat on swings and just talked. It was like. And that's what made me think of looking, because we didn't.
A cool date.
It wasn't about the sex. It was just about the swing set, freezing cold. Because then you can imagine, because I love to go really fast, like roller coaster speeds on swings. And it was one of the coolest dates. And we just rode a swing. But we had gloves on and everything, and we were really dressed. And he told me dress warm. What we're doing is kind of crazy. And there was no one there. I'm not even sure if the park was open. It was at sunset. Not that the sun set anywhere near there, but it just meant it was going to get dark and cold in a minute. I didn't mean that in a romantic way. I meant that in, death is coming. Death is coming! But that was one of the most fun, simple dates, and it was just such a fun gesture that he was like, oh, I know a really cool swing set.
I got to think of a good thing for Kel.
And to think of it in the middle of a snowy, snowy winter. That winter was just abominable for snow. And it was just a fun gesture.
Sure.
I thought. And it stayed with me for years.
And those are the ones that do stay, somebody that finds that one little thing.
And not a dime was spent except for the gas and maybe whatever fine we would have been fined for being in what was a closed state park.
Whatever.
In the event that we couldn't run fast enough.
Exactly. Yeah.
Charges are still pending.
Yeah.
No attorney has been filed.
Yeah. And I did date a flight attendant once, and we did, back when you could get on planes really easily. We did fly to Seattle once to have lunch in the airport.
Oh, wow.
I flew back. He was like, I've got a deadhead seat.
Oh, I forgot about that. We drove to Philly for lunch one day because.
For shits and giggles. Hmm. And none of those were the date that I was thinking of, so that's kind of funny. I'm just sad that, you have to work, just fun, nice moments together when you're seeing somebody,
It's touching.
Bitter party of one, table's ready.
I just watched the Grinch's heart shrink.
Two sizes. Nature, to this day.
Nature signs we rarely see.
Put a little love in your heart, McKee.
Okay, so sweet. Okay, so
what?
I don't know. I don't know what St. Patrick's is about. Is that a place? Maybe a church?
Molly. Molly.
I'm thinking it has something to do with your story in the weeds.
I don't know.
Molly
wasn't there for the story in the weeds. That was a whole different girl.
a whole different girl. Of a girl?
No. I love Molly with the big lake they call Gitchagumi. Yeah. As we're quoting the wreck of the Edward Fitzgerald. God damn it, Molly. Get out of my head.
She funny.
Yeah, but we do need to know what that means. All right, so I'll tell you the last story, because nobody seems to be turning anything off.
Go ahead.
So
I've got 10 minutes.
This is the best breakup story ever.
Yes.
So I was dating a guy for a while, and things just weren't going our way. We really liked each other. We were both coming out of other relationships. This may have been just post-Danny. And I we were doing fine, but it just wasn't the right time for either one of us. But we had planned a getaway to Sedona, to Garlands, which I love these cabins up in Sedona. And I used to go with the woman who came out and became a lesbian and started taking her girlfriend to Garlands instead of me. I used to be her plus one, but then when she lost the tube. So I wanted to go. So we had arranged what was supposed to be this romantic getaway. And I knew 2 weeks beforehand that it was a no-go for the relationship. But I didn't want to lose out on the trip to Sedona because I still thought it would be fun. And we liked, I knew we liked each other.
Trip to Sedona is always fun.
So we drive up to Sedona, and I have to tell him as we're making our sleeping arrangements, because you have your cabin, and this one had a cabin that had a loft with the bed. I'm like, I'm actually gonna sleep up there because I just don't think this is the right thing to do. I'm like, and I'm sorry to do this like the minute we get here. I'm like, but I really wanted to spend the weekend with you. It's pretty up here. We'll have fun. And he was a little butthurt for a while, and we did a little pouting in the snow and walking like around through Oak Creek Canyon like we were in some kind of like, you know, sad gay commercial for antidepressants. And then we got back to the thing. There's nothing to do when you go to Garland. There's no phones. This is before cell phones. And they don't have phones. There's no TV in your cabin. You just have to go there. And it does take a day or two to, like, completely unplug from the world. Sure. And they have board games in the main lodge. They have board games in your cabin. And we sat and played Scrabble and listened to it. It was right between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We listened to Vanessa Williams' new Christmas CD because we had bought that together. And it was fantastic. And then we were listening to, like, City of Angels because it was a show we both loved. Not the movie, but the Broadway play.
Right.
And we listened to show tunes, and we ended up becoming, like, best friends. Like, we really did find out through that weekend that we weren't really that interested in
dating. You still really liked each other,
but we really liked each other, and it was one of the most fun breakup dates ever. And we were stuck together for, like, 3 nights and 2 days or whatever the math is on that. And just the most fun. It was like, do you want to listen to that Vanessa Williams Christmas song again? And we were like just playing games and we just kept getting liquor and drunk. And I think at one point maybe hand jobs were, you know, we're here.
Well, sure. You're there for a weekend.
Before we do the whole time to say good.
It gets late. I understand.
Yeah, agony. But it was just fun.
Oh my God. Speaking of which, I cannot wait to drive home because my CD has officially downloaded.
Yes!
So I've been belting agony at the top of my lungs.
It's no different than dwarfs are very upsetting. Oh, because you have the
I have the movie.
You don't have the reprise.
Yeah.
All right, I'll send that to you. I'll send you a link.
Deal.
All right. Got it. Are we done?
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know.
Put a stick in it. We're good. All right. I think we're done for this week.
I think Edmund Fitzgerald, I'm sorry. Mom's always correcting me.
Everybody in the chat room, thank you so much for being part of it. Dawn, I'm bleeping and I won't stop.
I'm bleeding.
Why,
can't
I read tonight? Nobody can read. I don't know why. It doesn't matter.
I have a really weird light glare.
Oh, Molly, my Tower Records was the one down in the village. I think I might have said Times Square, but I meant that we would go to the one in the village because he lived down... he's the one that taught me to take subways and do the Bronx is up. No.
I don't know. Whatever. You'll figure it out. That's the end of hour 3.5. We'll be back again next week, as we always do. Sitting alongside Katie June, Kat Carlson, Al Perkins, Marnie, who stepped out early. I'm Clayton McKee. Thanks for being with us. As always, we will see you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.